City Commission meeting to order. Today we do not have the Reverend Steve May with us. We have our very own Juanita Grant Ford to bless us with an invocation. Before we get started, Juanita, last Friday was the 14th year of September 11th, and the town I was born in lost actually 14 members of their community that day, which in a city our size would be about 30 members. So I personally knew a bunch of them, and we'd just like to have a moment of silence for those that lost their lives on that day, as well as the days since in the battles that we've been facing. So if we could stand, have a moment of silence. Juanita will lead us in the invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Almighty God, Lord of all creation, we come today to honor you, to welcome you to this meeting, and to remind ourselves of your very pivotal place in our lives. We ask that your wisdom would guide us as we seek to accomplish the goals on today's agenda. We give you respect and acknowledge you as our creator and provider. It is you who are omnipresent. You are everywhere, Lord. It is you, Father God, who are omnipotent. You have all power. It is you who are omniscient. You know everything. As we approach our task today, may we approach our members with respect. May our conduct create an environment of cooperation and kindness. Oh God, we ask for your blessings on this meeting. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunities to serve you and to serve others. May our actions and our attitudes please you this day. We pray these things in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Juanita, thank you. You wear so many hats here, we have another one for you. We just dropped another hat on you. Folks, we have the approval of the agenda. Randy, do we have any changes to the agenda?
No, sir. Just wanted to remind the members of the audience that the budget, even though it's listed at the bottom of the agenda, will happen as close to after 5 o'clock as possible.
So great. Thank you for that clarification. Folks, we'll look for an approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Randy, I have the approval of the appointment of the selection committee. How would you like to go about this, Randy? Do you have a recommendation from staff?
Oh, yes. I know there was some talk about using the golf course task force as the selection committee, but it would be my recommendation that we at least have two members of staff and one commissioner, or three members of staff, along with any two of the former selection committee that you would like to appoint, just so that the majority is the people that have to write the checks up here. So.
Okay, I think that's fair. I'd like to, we can appoint two members. I would offer two members from the task force, two members from staff, and a commission member. Is that fine with you guys?
Right. If I could recommend from staff, then it would be John Holland and myself.
I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I would offer from the task force, and again, this is just throwing it out there, Matt Hegarty, who led the task force, and Gary, is it Deal?
Yes.
Who is on our Parks and Rec board.
Good.
Does that sound okay?
I'm fine with that, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, and just, I would offer myself on this. I've stayed out of RFPs, but I would offer myself up for this one to be the commission member if everybody's okay with that.
It's about time you did one of these.
Thank you.
Yes. So that's the slate.
Which doesn't include a free round, though. So.
You got to meet somewhere.
Yeah.
Are we still going to go through how we did with the attorneys and the, or is this going to be final selection?
No, it will come before, assume, the selection.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, usually in these types, the selection, the ranking would come to the commission from the committee. So the last two, since they work directly for the city commission, is the reason y'all did it that way.
And I think that's where allocating, since we've allocated $1.2 million in the budget for it, I think it should come before the commission, before the final.
Oh, yes, it will come to the commission.
Okay.
To approve the ranking.
So to your question, yes, it will follow the same path that we've done with the latest RFPs.
Well, except it won't be oral presentations to the commission, is what I'm saying.
There won't be oral presentations.
Like right. We just had.
No, I know. But how do we get to the commission? Just the written, we'll just have a...
Yeah, the commission will see the ranking from the committee. And
will there still be orals to the committee?
To the committee, yes.
Yeah. So the committee will just... I mean, that's
the normal...
That's the normal procedure, to have them actually do orals to the commission.
You okay?
Unique. So I'm very fine with that.
Okay, so Randy, do you need a motion to have that team assembled?
Yes, sir. Let's make it.
Great. Then I would move John Holland, Randy Knight, Gary Beal, Matt Hagerty, and myself, Steve Leary, as the RFP team.
And I'll second that.
Any other questions? Randy, do I need to open this?
No, sir. It's administrative.
It is as well. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Great. Thank you. Randy?
Nothing to report. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions for the city manager? Sarah?
On the city manager's report, I have two items I want to ask about. One is under the future tree plantings. Thank you very much. Is that what we're discussing right now?
Yes.
Andy? Okay. Thank you very much for delineating what kinds of trees have been planted and where and so forth and so on. But I have been a bit curious as I've been driving around town and seeing some of those, and I don't know if they've just gotten smaller or they look like they've gotten smaller. And I also have, I remember when we talked about this before, we talked about how much space do you need, and there was some distress between some people said you needed 8 feet and some people said you needed 6 feet. And I think we have never settled on that. And so I'd like for us to settle on that at some later time, not tonight, but I'd like us to bring that forward and then to discuss, because there's a lot of us who really were looking for those light oak trees. So let's see. I just want to make sure we are on the same page as we move forward.
Randy, I'd like to second that one. I think there's still... There's things on here I'd like to discuss that, you know, there are 50 trees that were proposed to be planted that weren't planted and were declined, and that's a whole different issue. But I'd like to bring that back one more time just to straighten this out, because that's one of the big ticket items I hear about, Mr. Mayor, and it's just.
Are you not going to the supermarket that Commissioner Cooper goes to?
No, my wife won't let me go anymore because I keep bringing chips and chocolate chip cookies. But I have heard about that and would like to, at least amongst us.
Okay,
I'd like to talk about that one more time.
I just asked Michelle to step up in case there's any questions on the forestry plan because she was so integral to it. Does anybody have any questions specifically for Michelle that maybe she can answer?
I'd like to bring that back as a future discussion item because we were.
We'll pull it all together. I heard the questions, so we'll pull it together.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you, Michelle. You have three up here for that.
So my other question on there is, again, I know that we're coming up with a New Hope Baptist Church project that involves the two relocatable buildings, and I know they're up in September, and they've still never had anything to happen over there, and I just want us to be on top of that because it's one of those issues that I don't know who else and when this ever happened that you moved two trailers into somebody's neighborhood and we allowed it. So I just want us to be aware of it.
The conditional use is expiring this month, and they have made a request that working its way through the process to come back to you. So it'll be coming.
And would show us what efforts they have made to achieve their goal relative to getting the permits good.
Any other questions for the city manager?
No, sir.
No. Anything from the city attorney, too?
There's nothing.
Okay.
Unless you guys have questions.
Any questions for two?
None, sir.
None? Great. Then let's move on. Let us move on. We'll take the citizen comments. Randy, can we do that? We will do citizen comments at 5 because hopefully they'll be shorter than the budget discussion. Okay, so we'll prioritize those. Is that fine?
Yes, fine.
Wonderful. Consent agenda.
I'd like to move for approval.
Second.
I want to pull three things off. Sorry, guys.
You've been to that grocery store, haven't you?
Yes, hold on. We have a motion and a second. Would you all allow Commissioner Sprinkle to take this first? Fullhurst, thank you.
Yeah, I have questions to ask on B1, questions to ask on B3, questions to ask on B4.
Great. So with that, can we have a motion? I'll move the consent agenda for its 9A, B2, and C.
Second.
Great. We'll open the floor for public discussion. Anyone wanting to address the commission on items 9A, 9B2, and 9C? We'll close the floor. Any further discussion up here? Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Sarah.
Okay, one is about the Sternberg lanterns for the electric street poles, and we were in conversation, as I understand it, about waiting to get some kind of a new pricing on some of those lanterns and those poles, and I thought we were going to get that before we went out and bought more. So I'm asking the question, what happened to that process we were involved in?
Terry, I know Jerry left you battling this one on your own.
Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
all right, okay.
You're absolutely right. What we have is a backlog of areas, Stonehurst, Mayfield, and Kenwood, that have already been through the process, the voting process, and they've achieved their 66% to move forward. In answer to your question, Commissioner, we have looked at your request, we've looked at some alternatives to the Sternberg. The Sternberg 12-foot pole runs about $900. We have found some alternatives. We haven't had a chance to kind of, you know, kick the tires, so to speak. They're running about $600, about a third of the price, and we're going to continue to look at that and try to drive the price down, because the real cost of these installations is the pole. The head itself is about $200 to $300, then you've got cable and conduit. But the pole is a major cost, and the way that we can drive the cost of these projects down is by cutting the cost on the pole, but making sure that we don't compromise on the quality of the pole. The Sternberg is a quality pole. It's been tested for a number of years in Winter Park, and it's lived up to expectations. But Hall of Fame has a pole, and there's some other manufacturers out there, and we'll be bringing those to you at a later date.
Hey, Terry, can you expedite that? I mean, we're talking about a $70,000 difference. If you're saying it's a 30%, you know, it's a pretty big number.
It's a 30% reduction.
It's a 30% reduction?
Right. Not a...
Yeah.
On the pole.
Okay, 30%. Gotcha. Okay. It's still a big chunk of change, especially during budget season. Okay with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I just know that we're looking at it, and I hate to spend more money right now before we, but I'll let it go for now. But I think we need a time certain that it's going to come back to us. Okay.
Hey, Commissioner, if you're okay with this, what I'd like to do is then take 9B, 1, 3, and 4 when we're done discussing those, if that's okay to approve rather than have individual.
That's fine.
Okay, great.
So I just have a question about the Allen Station upgrades, and what is that going to be? What's happening on Lake Mizell? And the other, I think there's two other lakes. What's happening there? And I only like to know what's happening.
Done.
Especially since that's in front of my house.
All of the Allen stations that exist around the city are right. 14 years old.
Okay.
The technology is old, and these are the upgrades to that, all the pump systems and the injection systems. So that's what this is funding, those upgrades.
Okay.
But it's not going to change the physical location.
Doesn't change how they come and pump things in and out or anything like that. You're just changing that out.
Right, the equipment.
Okay. All right, great. I have a question.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
Well, my question is, if it's around the city and we're starting with Mizell, do we have a plan for what order they get done in and where you're going next? And
absolutely. We've upgraded the one at Rollins College already and the one on Morse Boulevard.
But there's a published plan that says where we're going from here.
Yeah,
it's
a capital improvement project. Right. It's something that's, you know, the Lakes Board agrees on, and we, you know, approve it yearly.
Okay.
Thank you.
And my last question is on number 4 is I just like an explanation, because I've already had one person ask me about it, about the labor attorneys and that process. Since we're just approving it on the consent agenda, I just think we need to have an explanation of how that happened, since none of us were on that committee.
Right. Well, unlike the city attorney and the lobbyist, the labor attorney really works for me
for the most part. I mean, y'all do get involved with the labor attorney from time to time when there's a union negotiation or there's a litigation related to an employee, but this is more of a staff contract. And so we did an RFP, just like the regular process. We had a staff committee do the rankings, and what you have before you is that ranking from staff.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay, Commissioner, would you move those?
I would like to move those now. Thank you.
I will second item 9B1, 3, and 4. We'll open the floor for public comment. Seeing no one, we will close the floor. You all ready to vote?
Yes, sir.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Thank you. 10A. Dory?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Staff is here today as a follow-up to a work session item that you all had asked us to bring forward. It is the possible disposal of the what we call the Blake Yard property, which is also 301 West Comstock Avenue. We prepared an analysis for you that we included in the packet that looked at a couple of possible entitlement options. And at this point, we feel that probably looking at a single family or low density residential land use category with an R1A or R2 zoning, if you were going to entitle it for residential, would be the best alternatives to that particular area given what is around that area at this point in time. I believe Commissioner Seidel had asked us to chat a little bit about the existing PQP uses that were there, as well as possible PQP uses, and we included that in the analysis as well. It was a lay-down yard at one point in time. That's not a use that would be appropriate today, given the residential character that's gone on in that particular area. We also did look at it as a parking lot. The layout of a parking lot was challenging, given the size of the property and the access onto basically a cul-de-sac. And we, at that point, I believe you all authorized us to take the public works building down at that point, so we were able to add those spaces in rather than look at trying to create a parking lot on what would be considered a residential street. And then the last option that we looked at was a park. And I know that John can speak to the park board's results of that, but a couple of things that we all talked about internally as staff is a park there would be an amenity to a very small area of the city. The access still is a problem with that cul-de-sac, and I think the concern needs to be about safety and use and upkeep of that particular park. If that were to be developed at a park, and who would use it and what types of uses would be on it. So staff has no recommendations at this time. We're looking for direction on what the commission would like to do with this piece of property and whether you choose to move forward with entitlements or the notice of dispose.
Thank you, Dory. Commissioner
McMahon. And Dory, I try to ask this question before I refresh my memory. The cul-de-sac that's there now is, I'm going to say, a little substandard. I think the intent would be, if whatever we do with that, if there's room to actually create a cul-de-sac there that would be compliant with our city standards. Is that, can we get close to that, or? Regardless of what we do with it, I just that dead end is a.
I think we can entitle it that way, right?
We can get close to it. We cannot meet our city standards because
we've got a pinch point.
We're passed by the railway.
But we can get close enough that it's.
We could extend onto that parcel a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and make it a little better than it is now.
Okay,
but it's.
It's never going to be a full 50-foot radius or whatever.
That's correct.
You have to go off.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other? Commissioner Cooper?
Dory, has this been to the pedestrian and bike board? Do we have their input on this?
It hasn't been any board.
It went to Parks Board.
It did go to Parks Board.
It did go to Parks Board.
Because the two things that I'm hearing about are the possibility of the bike trail, the rails and trails, and using this particular property. I had had a discussion relative, I guess there's overhead lines that we think are going to have to be put underground eventually, and how that impacts this property. And then the third issue was the Parks Board, but you said, John, it has gone, and you're comfortable that there is no future use? Because, you, of course, you understand, my point has always been that if we have property inside the city core, I hate to see us relinquish that without being very confident that we don't have a future municipal need. And the things that I have heard about are rails and trails, parks, or undergrounding or drainage. And I don't know where we are on those, but I would love to be reading something from the Parks Board, from the Pedestrian and Bicycle Board, giving me advice on that.
It went to the Parks and Recreation Board in February of 2013, 2.5 years ago, basically when the rumors of Blake Street removal started floating around. They did not take any action on it, you know, good, bad, or other. They wanted some further study on it. So that's where we are with the Parks Board.
But we haven't done that yet. We haven't had that. We haven't moved forward to analyze whether the Parks Board needs that property.
Other than the options, I think, that are being presented today for different aspects.
If there's not a huge urgency in doing this, I would feel far more confident if we had something from the Parks Board and from the Pedestrian and Bike Board. Because we send many things back to them that have nothing to do with them. This has a lot to do with
it. I don't see where it has anything to do with the Pedestrian and Bicycle Board. It's an isolated segment of something it's on the right of way of the railroads.
But without the bike facilities we're incorporating with the rail station, I mean, it's too close to that to really be a good use for bike bed.
You know, if we want to run it by Parks one more time to see if they've got a use, I'm happy.
I would like to do that.
I'm happy doing that and or going with an R2 zoning on that. That's what's surrounding it. And
I'm happy to go with an R2 anywhere. Also, and if we're going to send it to anywhere, I'd like to send it to P&Z to get their perspective on it. But I'm happy to have it go to R2.
I'd like to move that it go to R2 and get an appraisal before we do anything else with it.
Can we, Commissioner, can we do that?
Or something like that's going to get us somewhere.
Can we multitask?
Yeah.
Because without a zoning classification, we can't get an appraisal or accurate appraisal.
Right.
Randy, can we request an appraisal based on R2 zoning? Can we submit it to P&Z and Parks before the next round?
Idea.
So it all comes back in one package and says, here's what it's.
Yes.
Here's the appraisal at R2, here's what Parks say, and here's what P&Z says.
So, Commissioner, can I make a suggestion?
Yes, sir.
Commissioner, would you withdraw your motion?
Yes, I will.
Would you make a motion to Commissioner McMacken? And we can.
I'd like to direct staff to do three things. First of all, to get an appraisal on the property based on R2 zoning. Mm-hmm. Secondly, to present this piece of property to both Planning and Zoning and the Parks Board to get their input on any future development in this area and whether or not it's an asset that the city should consider hanging on to.
Do you want us to bring that back then prior to going out for the appraisal?
Yes, I would like to have that prior.
Yes, okay.
Because I think based on that, we're going to decide whether we're going to put out a notice to dispose and or potentially keep it.
She asked, do you want to have it go to the two boards before you have the appraisal?
Right.
Can we do the appraisal simultaneously?
Sure.
An
appraisal may be between $3,000 and $4,000.
I would rather not spend that much time. Since we're not in a rush to get rid of it, I would just have it go to P&Z and Parks first. If they bring it back to us, we approve their recommendation, then we'll send it out to appraisal. Because if we disagree with it, I don't want to have wasted $3,000, $4,000
appraising it. Okay, I mean, eventually we're going to appraise it anyway, but I'll be willing to wait.
But
I mean, we're not falling all over ourselves to sell it, so I'm willing to wait. So I will withdraw the first part of that and just say we'd like to forward this parcel to P&Z and to the Parks Board to get their input.
Okay.
And I don't think you need an official motion. I think we can just have at least three nods for that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you got that? See, I do have a question for staff, though, Dory. You said that you replaced the parking that used to be on Blake Street by taking out the public work building.
No, sir. We looked at possibly parking on Blake. We never took that action. As we tried to lay Blake out, it became very difficult to lay out parking, so we never had any public parking on Blake.
It wasn't the street, it was the parcel itself.
Right, it was the parcel.
So what she's saying is that we met the need of the parking that we were looking at using Blake for.
Yes, the commission had a lot of concerns over having adequate parking in this particular area, and there was a lot of discussion about whether staff would park over there. As we began to lay it out, we realized that layout was difficult, and we could actually change the layout of our city hall parking rather than have this external or
I guess there's no number of additional spaces we could get there. No one's actually looked at that and said, well, actually, you could get
the greatest minds in the city.
We can provide you that data too when we come back with the.
It gets like 21 or 22 spots.
Okay, so do we have three nods to take that direction?
Yes. I just want to make sure we don't do a notice of disposal before we have an appraisal. That's all I'm looking for.
I don't think we will be. Dora, I think you have three nods for
yes,
that.
Sir.
Thank you so much. Okay, let's move on to item 10B, the progress point notice of disposal. Dora, I think this is yours as well.
Yes, it is.
Great.
Putting on your time machine hat, back in 2011, we acquired the Progress Point site as a land swap for what the city owned for the state office building site on Morris Boulevard in Denning Drive. The property has not been used by the city since that exchange took place. At the request of the City Commission, we went out for notice of disposal in April of 2015 of this year for a 90-day notice of disposal. We not only issued the notice on our city website, we also put it on what is known in the trade as LoopNet, which is a developer's
commercial
website to let people know. Well, according to our purchasing department, we handed out close to 35 notice of disposal packages with a lot of background material about this information, and we closed that notice in July of this year. At that time, we received one request for consideration. The request was by Rock Development. Rock's proposal is an 82 assisted living center beds and a memory care facility. I'm going to allow, if you would, they're ready to show you their option, and I would prefer them to do it rather than for me to wreck it. So they would like the opportunity to go through their presentation with you. They've offered the city $4.5 million for the entire site. A few things that we looked at when I took this to the Economic Development Advisory Board at that time is certainly the taxable value of that property, putting that property back on the tax rolls, which is part of what we were looking at for economic development purposes. And the estimate for this particular project would be anywhere between $71,000 and $86,000 per year in taxable, and again in property taxes to the general fund. To me, one of the other issues that they brought up is they would be looking to bring in 100 new jobs to Winter Park, which really is an asset to the city. And these 100 jobs are not currently in the Winter Park area, so that and they would be above the median income level for the most part to bring in these job opportunities. You have in front of you today several options. We did receive the appraisal last Thursday Friday. Came in late Thursday. The appraisal was for $5.69 million for the entire site, and that looked at the site as a O2, the existing land use of professional office with an O2 zoning category. One of the things that staff did look at when we looked at this particular property is the low intensity of this possible project and the fit between the residential as well as the commercial corridor. But we did also recognize that we have the Orange Avenue corridor as a feet on the street type of corridor and the desire to have commercial development on it. The developer did offer to modify his plan to put a restaurant on the site and make that corner a very open, pedestrian-friendly corner. So today you've really got several options in front of you for consideration. You can, should you choose to, you can reject the notice and direct staff on what direction you would like to go with it. You can negotiate or ask staff to negotiate with the developer and see if any of the factors you would like to see more, whether it's price or use or whatever, could be negotiated, or you can accept the offer. So those are three. I'm sure there's multiple other versions that you all can think of, but from staff's perspective, that's, I can't always dream them up. So But that's from staff's perspective. What we're looking for is that kind of direction today.
Thank you.
So with that, I know that Mr. Anderson is here and would like to be able to give a presentation.
Sure.
My name is Phil Anderson, and I used to sit back here for a couple of years, and this project actually created an interesting dilemma, you know, how to present a development that you would actually vote for if you were on the other side. And I think that's what we've done. What I'd like to do is, are you ready to write? Do we have the pictures on the slide? Just keep going. Well, this is why we brought the paper copies. Just to start out, I think we've presented the right project for a great location, but it's a pretty tough site. It's an important but challenging layout for a property. I think we've prepared something that can be the right project for that piece of land. We've got the right value, or we propose the right value for what we assume would be a very low intensity use. No impact to schools, very little impact to traffic and neighborhoods with significant property taxes, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And then lastly, we really put together the right team. Some of y'all know my background. I've been developing and acquiring and investing in retirement communities and healthcare properties for about 30 years, probably over about $6 to $7 billion worth of seniors housing and healthcare real estate. Own properties in Beverly Hills and the Chicago North Shore, really high-end locations in many parts of the country. And it's really been refreshing and interesting for us to think about planting the flagship for our company. And we happen to be the largest private equity firm investing in seniors housing in the country, and for that matter, probably the world. But we're based here in Orlando. And, you know, we've owned a lot of communities across the country. This would be our first flagship. You know, we did $5 billion worth of real estate the last time around, and never owned a property in Orlando, so we'd hope that this would cure that. But what that really means is we're putting a lot of care and love into what we're thinking about and what we're planning for. So really what we've looked at is effectively a mixed-use site. It is a opportunity to unlock a pretty important corner. You know, we've met with staff. We've looked at bringing in a restaurant or a retail or commercial use, most likely a restaurant. We think it unlocks the potential of the corner. But honestly, by dedicating that corner, it's a tough triangular piece of dirt to deal with. And but we've made that a very important part of the overall development. What we've then done is create what we think will be the premier assisted living and memory care facility here in Central Florida. It was important for us to create a feel on Orange Avenue, just as the Park Plaza Hotel or some of our higher end residential facilities have on Morse Boulevard, sort of secondary arterial streets, but important residential addresses. And have done our best to also meet the requirements or the original stated requirements or desires of the city to maintain the openness of the road that parallels the railroad track. I think what's notable is because of our parking and the number of drivers that our use generates, it's so low that we're actually able to get close to achieving the full FAR and provide the parking that we need and still also provide the open space that's required under certain parts of the code. So this is in essence what we proposed. We proposed a mixed-use project, assisted living, memory care, a restaurant. We intend to be architecturally sensitive along Orange Avenue. I've resisted a lot of recalls, and we've made it clear that we're going to maintain a two-story level right along Orange Avenue. We'll bring that up to three stories. You know, I think what we've designed is appropriate at the price point that we've done. We have not used all of the available FAR to the site, you know, but we felt like we would come to the commission originally with a level of intensity that we thought met the goals of the site. We can certainly look at other things. When you go and look at the property, we've looked at architectural styling that is really more reminiscent of what we're seeing in Granada Court and some of the other Rogers developments. You can see how we're taking the two-story approach on Orange Avenue, sort of blending it in with the single-story retail adjacent to us. And as this refines, I'm sure what you'll see also on the first floor on the Orange Avenue frontage is something that looks more like a retail front as we kind of go up the street. You know, these are just some illustrations, I think, kind of give you an idea of the flair that we're going with, at least at this point. You know, I'm going to back up and point out one other thing, and how to back up. There we go. If we go back to the original site plan, you'll note how we tried our best to accommodate the parking for the restaurant so that we would create a way for people coming to the destination restaurant to turn in, have their cars parked and or valeted in the restaurant. And by doing that, we tried to avoid this really, really sharp curve around Denny. We're excited about the prospect. If you look at the economic development impact, you'll see that we're capable of generating a pretty substantial tax base into the general fund. We think that that's important. I know that there's budgetary concerns all the time. You know, we certainly would be able to support at least one, maybe two police officers through the additional revenue this might create pretty quickly. When I talked about our team, you know, I mentioned my personal background, 30 years in seniors housing and healthcare. My partner, David Weigel, actually joined us. He, prior to joining us, he spent many years running restaurant developments for CNL, and so we have that background as well. So this is something we feel very comfortable with. You know, we just finished our capital raise and produced a little over $700 million of equity for investment. And I think we're fairly well capitalized to pursue a project like this. You know, that's really what I wanted to sort of share with you. You know, we'd love for y'all to continue with the process that we started a few months ago, kind of move ahead, work with staff on reconciling and incorporating the recent appraisal, and coming back to the commission in short order with something that you'll find very appealing.
Okay. Thanks, Phil. Any else for staff?
I just want to make it very clear. You are not approving this project tonight. All you are doing is making a decision as to whether you choose to sell this property or not sell this property. This is not a land use hearing. It is not a zoning hearing. He could go in and if you all chose to move forward with it, he could make changes to this before you even see it. I want to make it very clear that we're not asking you tonight, and you are not obligated in any way, shape, or form to look at this as a land use or zoning hearing. It is not that.
Well, before you make that statement, I want to make sure our city attorneys are okay with that statement. The city and other municipalities have gotten in trouble in the past with agreeing to sell a piece of property with no entitlements but the idea of what could be coming, and then turn around later on and reverse course. So I appreciate your opinion, and I want to make sure from a legal perspective,
when you say reverse course, on the buyer's part or the seller's part?
Seller's part. So let's just say we go back.
I just want to understand your concern.
Sure. Here's what my concern is. I hate to bring up the Carlisle word, right? But let's make sure we don't approve a project. We are approving the sale of this property with the intent to do this project. Mm-hmm. The developer is going to spend some money on developing additional plans to go and sell this through to the community. If we then turn around 3 months from now, 4 months from now, and say, you know, we're really not crazy about this use, I can see there have legal recourse to say, well, you knew what you were approving, guys.
No, okay, all right.
And so that's a very real concern of mine, is getting tied up into a legal battle over that. So
the issue is use of the property, is that?
The issue, I have other issues with the challenges here, but that is certainly, I do not want to get into a protracted legal battle with the developer, because I think he's got every right to assume leaving here
that we are selling him this property for this proposal.
So your concern is more than just this use. My personal thought on that was, for me, it's more than just the use, quite frankly. The intensity of the land use would influence my decision as to whether the use was appropriate. So for me, it's kind of a two thing. I do think we need to give some guidance relative to, is this a good use? And in order to do that, I need to understand at what intensity.
Let me dial this back 1 second, and I apologize for cutting in. But let me dial this back. So let me see if I can get an opinion, or at least, and if two, if you're, this is something new. You and I haven't spoken about this, so you may not be prepared to answer this, and that's quite all right. I understand that. But then I think we can go into the use discussion, Commissioner. We can all have that bigger discussion. The first question is, from a legal perspective, are we setting ourselves up?
I agree with you, because that's the reason why they're buying the property. So if we're selling them the property and not letting them build an assisted living facility on that property, then they're not getting what they were paying for.
Okay. Thank you.
Two, are we? Now, understand that they wouldn't close until after they made it through all the zoning process. But they would be expending funds between now and getting through that process. So I understand your concern.
And if the decision not to sell to them reverts back to, we just don't like the use, they can say, you've known about the use now for months. So you can't approve to sell something for me and let me go through all the process of getting the entitlements, and they come back and say, we don't like them.
The reason we went through the notice of disposal is so that you could see the uses. So I absolutely do agree with you, Mayor. I guess what my point was, this is not a public hearing for a future land use change or a zoning change. But yes, you absolutely are approving the use, which is why we went through the notice of dispose, so that you could see to a level of detail that you would be comfortable with whether you wanted to proceed forward with this type of development on this.
Thanks. And that's Dory, thank you. Better stated, I appreciate that. Commission.
Sarah. Okay, so here's my question. I just feel like we've got a cart before the horse, because we just got an appraisal in, which is considerably more than what has been offered for this piece of property. They didn't have that information going in because we did a notice of disposal first. So first of all, I think before we think about selling pieces of property, we need to have an appraisal that tells us at least what somebody thinks it's worth. Because I have a very difficult time selling a property that the city owns for less money than what it's been appraised for. So that is my issue. So I remember when we did the notice of disposal, and I remember that I don't think any of us thought at that moment that we were even going to have a big project. We didn't know what was going to come in. Now we do. We have one in front of us to look at, and simultaneously we have an appraised value, which is considerably more, 26% more than what's been offered. So I think that's an issue that we have to deal with up here. And I understand about adding to the tax rolls, I got all that, but I would be, I think, negligent to sell something for that much less than what has been appraised.
Commissioner Sandin.
Yeah, I had a couple of questions kind of with the process, because I've received several emails of people that are willing to bid on the property now. Is that even possible, or is that over?
It's not possible for them to bid unless you reject this offer, and then we can put it back out for another notice to dispose, or dispose of it and have the commission to do so. But it would be inappropriate to leave this bid on the table, this proposal on the table, and allow others to bid because they missed the deadline.
Okay. No, thank you. That's not true.
Having been an advocate of the process all along, and hoping that we would always define when we go out with a notice of disposal what we are anticipating, and certainly I like the idea of the appraisal in the future, but given that we did not have that this particular time, and given that the process appears to have been very transparent, very well organized, it sounds like you had 30-something people that were interested. I know it was in the Orlando Sentinel as well as your other publications. I personally appreciate the fact that the use is sensitive
to the community, not only to the character of Orange Avenue, but also to the level of traffic that we will be generating in that vicinity. And it opens up that corner to definitely a very energized use. So I feel quite comfortable with the use. What I don't know is, do you have the latitude, should we approve the use, do you have the latitude to negotiate the price given that the appraisal came in after the fact? I don't know the legalities of that.
Oh, sure. We certainly do, absolutely. Good.
Well, that would be my only request, is that you have additional conversation. And quite frankly, for me, I'm willing to appreciate the fact that this particular parcel could be far more dense, and the fact that it is not does reduce its value to whoever is building on it. But I think that that sensitivity toward the community, we saw what happened on Orange Avenue when they tried to cram too much on a lot, and how the community was outraged by that. So I do understand that there's financial value associated with not maximizing the density. I'm quite comfortable. I feel very good about the addition to our tax base. Even your comment about the police, thank you for that. But for me, we're talking about adding $70,000 a year to the tax base, 100 new jobs, and $16 million to our tax base. It was supported by the Economic Development Board. The multifamily aspect of this will be directly across Denning from two other multifamily developments in our community. So for me, I'm quite comfortable with it. I think the memory care serves a need that this community has, and an appreciation of our demographics. I think it will be the only memory care, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's the only memory care we have.
You forgot?
Sorry. Yes. I forgot. I think that's right. But anyway, I personally am quite comfortable with it. I would like you to look at the appraisal and talk about what value there is in reducing the density to this level on the lot. Thank you.
Commissioner Reitman.
I'm comfortable with the use. I'm on Commissioner Sprinkle's page. Is when you have an appraisal that's, you know, $1 million over the bid, I'm uncomfortable with that number. I think, and to the applicant's credit, I mean, that $4.5 million is a number we carried since we sold the property, the state office building property. I mean, that was kind of the.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Well, we valued that. The value that was placed on this property at the time that we sold the state office building property was about $4.5 million, and we've kind of in our mind
swapped,
carried that dollar amount forward. The good news is that the property has apparently appreciated in value. I also appreciate that to pay another $1 million for the property or whatever, there's probably going to be a density increase here.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how you couldn't go otherwise. So if we are capable of going back to the table to get that sale value to match the appraised value, it's probably going to take a relook at this plan, and additional units potentially would have to be added in order to justify that additional dollar. That's my guess, but I'm not going to undersell it by $1 million just to keep the low density. That's not being a steward of community. In some ways it could be. In my way, it's not. And so. I'm comfortable going back and having staff discuss with the potential buyer here what it would take to get those numbers very close to matching. I mean, I can't sell this thing for $1 million less.
Well, let me tell you, I was Saturday at the Westminster Winter Park
in the towers. Yeah,
the towers for their 50th anniversary. So I'm sensitive to the needs of our community in regards to our aging population. However, Commissioner Cooper, you said that you're sensitive to this being in the character of Orange Avenue. I couldn't disagree more. I don't think a senior assisted living facility in the heart of our design corridor, I mean, I'm thinking of Beasley and Henley Interiors, Canvas, you have restaurants, you have Antonio, you have Jewett, which is
recent development.
But at the end of the day, this is our design corridor. That's what they bought into when they agreed to pay to tax themselves for the improvements to that corridor, that this would be identified as our design corridor. A memory care unit is not going to be impacting those services. I also think of the emergency service vehicles that these facilities utilize on a above average, on above norm basis. This, to me, is so outside of what this corridor is that I can't support it. I appreciate the work that's been done thus far, and perhaps we should have been in front of this story, and perhaps this commission didn't do a good enough job of saying what we want out there. But when we also hear from the people along that corridor, we've gotten emails from people we've never heard from before saying this is just not what we need right here. And I would say I can't support this use there.
The reason to go through a notice of disposal process, I'm sorry, Commissioner, is this very reason. It gives you that opportunity to look before you buy and decide that you like it, or it fits, or it doesn't fit, or for whatever reason. And that's the reason we go through the notice of disposal process.
Well, I think the process itself is a bit broken, to be quite honest. Again, I think critical of you. I think we need to hone that process a little bit more. I also know that EDAP has also, in the past couple of months, said, you know, they think that we should be hiring a professional broker to go out and broker these things. I have sat down with the applicant himself who said, you know, we heard this property is being soft marketed. If it's being soft marketed, if we're in the Sentinel, that's not the way to sell a piece of property. I mean, I think we hire a professional broker who gets this thing up. I've got properties on LoopNet. That's just not the way that you're talking about a 3.75-acre site in the middle of downtown Winter Park that's going to be around $5 million. I think we need to be out there a little bit more and a little bit more aggressively to the market, because the emails we're getting are from local people. I think that we'll probably get a lot more notice if we hire a major brokerage firm to go out and do that.
We're willing to take direction from the commission any way you'd like on how we sell property in the future.
Thank you, Tori.
Well, I just strongly feel that I made those arguments, Mayor, during the state office property, and it was a decision that was made. When we did the notice of intent on this property, I made the argument that we should be more specific in exactly what we wanted. But there does become a point at which we start to deal with faith in government. And quite frankly, I think our process was well defined, it was well executed, and it was known to the community. I've been after professional brokers for years, but that was not the decision that we made. And as I look at this, I, unlike Tom, and my thought is that for our community, I have received 3 emails from people on Orange Avenue that object to the use. I didn't receive any emails when we were putting in the parking garage at Jewett, or when we were adding space to the Jewett Clinic, excuse me, the parking garage. But I haven't heard from those people objecting to that. But I did hear from 3 people about this, but I heard from 100 people about the density that we were trying to create on Orange Avenue. So for me, I have to balance those 2 things. And when we were dealing with Orlando and putting in the large retirement community there, and people were concerned about the traffic on Orange and the traffic on Orlando, I heard from over 100 people. I have heard from 3 people about this. And for me, I look at this and the restaurant that is on the corner, and the fact that the majority of the assisted living does not front onto Orange Avenue. And I hope that these drawings are representative. But certainly what I'm looking at here is far more attractive than most of what I see on Orange Avenue. So, yeah, I hear you. I appreciate what you're saying. But for my position, I believe that we have a process. And could it be better in the future? I hope it will be. I've argued for that for years. And we have a process. We followed our process. Someone has come to us in good faith. The proposal was a pop-up. I absolutely agree with Sarah. That discussion needs to continue. But for me, there is a cost of creating density that this community is comfortable with, and that cost may be not necessarily to the maximum of your possibility on the property. So I'm not uncomfortable. I think we've done a fair process, and I guess I'm confused as to why we wouldn't move forward with at least saying that the use is good, the use is bad. Maybe we need to vote on that. Maybe we need to vote on whether we as a commission are okay with the use. But see, the problem for me was the use also hinges on the density. And so for my take, the use is comfortable to me because of the density the use creates. So they're kind of tied hand in hand. I don't know quite how to deal with that, but possibly voting on the use of the land is a fair way to treat an applicant.
I think what we can do is we can deny this, and we can apply a use to it, and we can say, and we can put it back out to the market and see what that, or we can go to, again, I had originally proposed possibly going to P&Z early and getting their opinion on what would fit within that neighborhood.
I understand why
EDAB likes this from an economic development standpoint. I certainly appreciate why they like this.
We had a workshop with EDAB and P&Z on this back in 2012, and we can certainly have another one. It was interesting. We had a facilitator come in, and I included in your original package, I did include that information. Mm-hmm. And I will say that other than uses that were prohibited mm-hmm. on the site, there was not a lot of uses, or no real defined uses that were encouraged other than pedestrian walkability and so forth. So, but times change. That was a number of years ago, and we can always go back and do it again.
Did we have a recent meeting, though, with the EDAB?
Yes.
Okay, so that is recent. That's not so. Because that group is pretty sensitive to what creates long-term value in your park. I don't think they would be recommending something that would damage the future of Orange Avenue.
But they saw it. They did not see the appraisal.
But some put words in their mouth. They approved it from an economic development standpoint today, and I think that, you know, they have their opinion on it. And I've spoken to some of them too individually, and it was a difference of opinion on it.
I'd like to move that we approve the use of the property, and that we return to staff. Yes, absolutely.
Certainly, what's every day.
But I'd like to make the motion that we approve the use of the property, and that we ask staff to go back and negotiate based on the recent appraisal.
I'm going to second that for discussion, but I do believe that discussion with the applicant is going to involve increased density. I have no doubt, and I can't take that out of the discussion. If we're asking for $1 million more for the property, which is where I'm at in seconding this, I want it very clear that the appraisal that the 5.69 is the number we're looking for. And I think it's only fair to ask this applicant if they can reach that number in a manner acceptable to us. And if they can't, they can't, and we put it back out. But we had no number out there.
Right.
And shame on us. And right. it came in, and shame on us. But based on that, my only way to reconcile that is to say, here's the number. Can you meet it? And if you can't, we're back on the street.
So
I don't have a problem with the use, but I do have a problem with saying that I'm willing to sell this thing for less for lower density. I'm not willing to do that in seconding this motion.
Okay. So, let me open that up for Commissioner Seidel, please.
Thank you. I find that we're in a very interesting situation because usually it's another property owner trying to sell it, and they're coming to us trying to change the zoning so they can close the deal. We're in the situation of we want this money for the city budget. We're trying to get this property back. And so here we are, without really talking to the public, looking at some zoning and saying, hey, do we think this is good zoning and we're happy to get the money and we're the five that can kind of do it? Is that, I mean, could that process actually take place, Dory? Is where
do if you have we, that much power?
Well, if we tell them now that we would sell the property and we, three out of five say, yeah, that's some decent zoning, we're kind of like you were saying with the legal quagmire is later let's decide, well, you know what, I've changed my mind, and now I'm going to vote 3-2, you know, something like that happens. That and so it's an interesting situation that we're in. That's what I'm saying. And it was kind of predicated on the budget, right?
Well,
or is it predicated not on the budget?
I don't think so.
Okay. And if it was predicated on the budget, I'd sell it for the 4.5 right now and get it over with. But it's not.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so from that standpoint,
well,
Senator, I'm predicating my comments on the fact that, you know, for shame on us for not having that appraisal up front, and it's nobody's fault but the five of us sitting here.
Right. And so what is the best?
I'm taking that. I think based on that, I'm willing to offer the one result we got out of 35 people that pulled the papers, that I'm willing to offer that applicant the opportunity to come back and match the $5.69 million appraised.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, what is the best path forward? That's what I'm trying to think of.
Let me take a stab at that.
Because
I'll tell you this, too. It became apparent during the last campaign, where you and I were out there, that even though certain properties had been advertised and projects had been discussed for months on end, certain areas of this community felt that they weren't communicated enough to. Now, we're talking to the neighbors. I've received emails from neighbors who said they had no idea this was going on. So I don't feel we've done a good enough job of getting out to the community or getting out to possible potential partners for this property. And I got to tell you, not communicating to the public when something of this size and this impact can be approved by this commission, I think is a very big mistake. So I am going to make a motion to deny this deal, this
notice
of the sale.
Should we make an amendment to my motion?
Ms. Ray, you have a motion on the floor already.
I'm sorry?
You have a motion on the floor already.
Right, so I will make an amendment to deny this.
I'll second.
Thank you.
Steve, where do we...
I'm sorry, Commissioner, so let me finish that. As part of my motion, what I'd like to do, and Commissioner, if you accept this addition, is to send this to P&Z and get their thoughts on just P&Z. It doesn't need to go back to EDAB. We know their thoughts on it. I'd like to see what P&Z, from a planning perspective, believes would be the best fit for this corridor that, again, we've identified as a design corridor, and we have charged neighbors who are spending money annually to pay for the the beautiful new streetscape we did. I think we need to get out to the community. We need to hear from them, and we need P&Z to kind of weigh in. So that would be my Commissioner.
Steve, are you comfortable voting on this? Yes, I'll accept that.
Thank you, Commissioner Cooper, yes.
Are you comfortable voting on this, or do you need to recuse yourself? Given that the emails that I received were from tenants of your building, should...
Commissioner,
it's a fair question.
It's not a fair question, but
it is a very fair question.
After what I've gone through today with you, we will certainly put that to see if there is a conflict of interest. If this does not inure to my special benefit, which that is the test, and I'm happy to get an opinion from the city attorney.
Can I do some research on that?
You certainly can. But I will tell you, this does not inure to my special benefit in any way whatsoever.
Very good.
So, and huffing and puffing from the audience.
Okay, so let me tell you where I am with this whole process, okay? I'm going to do just a cut to the chase. Now we've got a price, okay? Now we have one group that popped up and said, this is something we can do, and that's great. I'm so delighted they did, and if goodness knows, there's a lot of us going to be using this memory care unit before others are, so I got it, okay? On the other hand, I don't think we have done a fair job to ourselves as a city, knowing that we have a piece of property that has been valued at that much money, to not at least give other people an opportunity. I really do think that. So I do think that now that we know what it costs, and I'm not even into the density issue, because we're assuming a whole heck of a lot if we're assuming how we think it's going to come back into us at that cost. So I just have to tell you that I don't have so much of a problem with exactly what is going there on this picture. I have a real problem with the fact that people don't know, okay? They do not know. And the fact that it hadn't been to P&Z is a really big issue to me, okay? So it needs to go to P&Z for sure. And then it needs to, the people that are paying the extra money right now, they need some in, in to know about this, because they have certainly, I've had more than three, Carolyn, so I will tell you that that's an issue for me, because they are directly impacted. So I would like to see this. I know we have to vote on what you put out there, but I'd like to see us not be stymied by that. I want it to move forward. Either this group's going to come back, or some other group's going to come forward.
And though, you know, guys, I think we've spoken. Let's open the floor to public comment, if you will.
Can we do one more thing here?
Sure,
before we do that.
Happy to, Jim.
Let me ask one more question. Would we be willing to table this until P&Z has had a chance to look at it, as opposed to denying it? I just think it, we talk about fairness, we talk about everything else,
okay.
And we have by the rules that the city operates under, fairly put this out. Mm-hmm. We have mm-hmm. under the rules that we operated, done this correctly.
Sure.
We've had an applicant come back with a proposal. We didn't have the appraised value until Friday or whatever.
Sure. So they didn't.
My whole point being is that I really would like two things to happen. We can table it and have P&Z look at it. I'd also like to know if there's even a snowball's chance that the applicant could match that price based on this use. And we set it up. I mean, you know, again, I'm
good or bad.
Good or bad, right or wrong. I mean, I appreciate where you're going, I want to be fair to everybody, and the best way we can. And some things aren't going to work out.
Well, the one thing I would hesitate to do right now, and you can always make a motion to table, and I appreciate your asking before we do that. I would love to. There's a number of people here. Can I see a show of hands who'd like to speak on this item?
Yeah, and
especially. So I'd like to hear that before we table it, because tabling would negate.
So that's why I asked. I mean,
After that, Commissioner, perhaps we can ask the applicant themselves or the representatives if they'd be interested in. If they say, guys, there's no way we're going to increase that offer, then
we could. Then we could have something to go forth. I'm fine. No, I don't.
Okay.
In any way, shape, or form, I'm going to negate.
So let's take public comment now.
I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay.
I have one quick question, and it's just a technical question.
Sure.
Really is. I drove through the parking lot Saturday of Progress Point. There are a lot of cars back there. And that's the city property, but those are cars associated with the businesses, correct?
Yes.
And so then, from my viewpoint, when I looked at that, if this development goes in and displaces that parking that's currently being used, there's going to be a parking crisis over there. And that's what I saw when I looked at this, and that was something that I just wanted to bring that up and just find out if that's really the case, that that's how that's going.
That is backup parking for a lot of those businesses on the south side of Minnesota.
But they're not. I mean, they're not parking there.
They're not permitted. I mean,
that's right. They're not permitted.
They're just using it as backup.
But they have to park somewhere.
Right. There is a deficit of parking.
Let's open the floor to public comment. Thank you, guys. Please step forward, if you would.
Mayor and Commissioners, my name is Dave Johnston, 636 Darcy Drive, Winter Park, or is in Winter Park since 1969. I have an undergraduate degree in government from Duke and a master's degree in city planning from Georgia Tech. I've had the honor of sitting where you are for 12 years, and as a city commissioner and mayor, I know how hard it is to make decisions as to what is in the best interest for the citizens and future of Winter Park. I'm here to speak in opposition to the sale of this property for the use of as an assisted living facility. I'm very familiar with the property in question because for about 10 years my business was located directly, diagonally across the street from the Progress Point property. I know firsthand the amount of traffic, the congestion at this major intersection in the city. I do not believe an assisted living facility is an appropriate use of this property and request that you do not approve the notice of disposal. My position should in no way be considered a negative reflection on the fine company that is proposing to purchase the property nor the architectural firm that was selected to design. It is solely based on my professional opinion that such a use should not be located there, but property should be used for an O2 district. And I believe I would question Commissioner Cooper's motion because, in essence, you would be rezoning the property if you approve this use, because that is not a permitted use within the O2 district. Here are some reasons. The property is zoned O2, and so does it designate for permitted uses and of this category, and so reflected on the comprehensive plan. It would require rezoning, which the city commission is always reluctant to do after spending so much time and effort on the comprehensive plan. The proposal has not been reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission. Why not? It was reviewed by the Economic Development Advisory Board, but not the P&Z Board. That is a concern. The site plan presented illustrates a significant amount of developed area and not much open space or green space. When you review the examples of projects that the proposal has, the illustrations show facilities in beautiful settings with lots of green space. This is not what would be built on Progress Point. I think that when someone is living in the final years of their lives, they would prefer living in a beautiful setting without the noise of the heavily traveled roads that surround this property and adjacent railroad track that has frequent daily train traffic. I would ask that you think about the retirement communities in Winter Park, the Mayflower, Winter Park Towers, and even the Plymouth. They all occupy beautiful, tranquil settings and are wonderful, restful places to live. My mother lived at the Winter Park Towers for 12 years in the memory care unit there. We do have a big one there, so I'm familiar with that.
Pretty sure about that.
I believe the city has been trying to develop a commercial corridor entry into the city, and this is not a compatible use with that goal. I am not opposed to the city having more assisted living facilities, but have them located in an appropriate site. My professional opinion, this is not the site. The city should not be reacting like this is a short sale. You have the time to find the right user for this site and not to accept the first user. The city doesn't need the money right away since your reserves are in such good shape. Your decision will have a lasting impact on the future development of this corridor. My recommendation to the city commission is that you reject this notice of disposal. The city's in fine financial shape and doesn't need the money immediately. Hire an aggressive marketing firm to solicit companies interested in purchasing the property for use in accordance with the land development code and zoning classification that is currently on the property. Thank you for your service and the opportunity to share my thoughts.
Thank you, Mayor.
Not sure if it's the right time, but may I speak to item 10A?
What are we talking about here? We're talking about...
10A is the Blake Street?
10A is the Blake Street. It's not the right time. You missed that time.
It was never requested for public comment. I didn't hear it.
It was consent agenda.
No, it wasn't consent agenda. It was... That's because we took no action. We took no action, but
you'll be hearing that again.
I'm sorry, yeah, but you're certainly welcome, Forrest, at 5 o'clock.
Okay, thank you. I think I'll just wait till the next meeting.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Peter Schreier, 2436 Tioga Trail in Winter Park. I want to speak about the possible establishment of an additional memory care unit in Winter Park, really from a very personal perspective, having had two parents in that situation, one overseas and one here in Winter Park, and knowing the challenge it is to find an appropriate facility that is appropriate for them and that's also appropriate for the families who continue to take care of them once they're in that facility, because that family hopefully visits them often and looks for things to do with them outside of the buildings to still give them a quality of life. I'm very familiar with all the facilities. Believe me, my wife and I have seen them all from here to Seminole County to Chuliota to Orlando, everywhere. I'm very familiar with the Mayflower and very familiar with the Winter Park Towers, where I've had family members temporarily live in both places. I really contradict with the previous presenter's opinion about the serenity and the green space and the beautiful quiet setting. That's not what those people need. I think what they need is to still be part of community life. When you go to the Mayflower, when you go to the Towers as a family member, and you want to go for a walk with them, where can you go? You can just walk around the isolated, walled-in community. Where do you want to go if you want to take them in the wheelchair, which is hard to get in and out of the car, to a restaurant or to a coffee shop or somewhere? There's no place to go. The beauty of such a facility being near downtown Winter Park, and maybe this is not the right site, but to be near downtown Winter Park, is that I think families can provide their family members who are in the assisted memory units, assisted living memory units, an opportunity to still be part of community life, to go to museums, to go to galleries, to look at art, to take them to Central Park, all within walking distance. You cannot do this from the Mayflower, and you cannot do that from the Winter Park Towers, and I think that's a disadvantage. I don't know as much about this as you all know. I've not studied this long. I really hope that somewhere in close proximity to downtown Winter Park, this unit can be built. I'm not aware of the history about the promises that were maybe made or not made to the people who lease property, who own property, who bought into this because they want to be part of a design district. As a matter of fact, I never even heard that Orange Avenue was a design district, but I want to compliment the city and the commission for all the improvements you've made over the years on Orange Avenue. It used to be an eyesore. It's beautiful now. That piece of property is the last thing left that is an eyesore, and it needs to be developed. And I'm in general really in support of this. Is it the right place? I'm not 100% sure. But I urge you, don't put those units out in the outskirts. Put them somewhere downtown within walking distance of all the service of the things that people like you and I, when we're at that point, we want to take advantage of. Thank you so much.
Hello, Commissioner, Mr. Mayor. My name is Mike Garber, and I live at 2709 Drive. I'm in basically walking distance to the Congress Plain site. I'm also a part of the 1280 State Auto Center that we're converting into a retail center, and we have spent an awful lot of time, planning, and money to try to make this facility a part of the framework of the Orange Avenue was going. So I just found out about this Thursday, so for me, I was caught completely off guard. You can say I was upset, but I did know that the city had it for notice of disposition, and I recall that it was on LoopNet, but you know, I'm also a licensed real estate broker, so I'm aware of all the tools. And I can tell you, being a real estate broker, the only reason why I knew about it was because I have, you know, I'm a part owner of the 1280 Auto Center, so I was pruning in that area always to find out what's the market, and it just happened to show up. So it was on the site for a limited time, and it just said notice of disposal. So I recall, and what kind of bothers me a little bit is that I've known about this parcel of land for a long time. I always thought that it was going to bring greatness to that corridor. I mean, this is the largest piece and the closest to Park Avenue, I think, a vacant land the city will ever own. You may own other parcels, but not like this. So all of us in the Virginia Heights subdivision, I'm talking on 2 points, as a merchant property owner and also a resident. A lot of my neighbors, there's a big subdivision right behind there, right behind Main Gardens. And a lot of them just don't know what's going on. They have no idea. So when I've talked to a few of my neighbors, they had no idea. And frankly, I just knew that, oh, it's a notice of disposition. But I always thought that ultimately, when you go to sell the property, you're going to put a sign on. There's no sign, there's nothing. So that process was just a little bit obscure, I think. But just barring that, and some of my other questions is that I just, we just want to get, you know, especially as participants, because we have a lot of stakeholders in what this use is, we didn't have a chance to see actually what could have gone in there, what could be the other uses. And this is very important because this is a gateway piece to Winter Park. So I guess what I'm hearing is we're going to have assisted living facility as the gateway piece to Winter Park because there's only three gateway roads, Orange Avenue, Fairbanks, and New Road. That's it. So I'm just taken back where I would, and I'm not against ROC. I think that they are a wonderful community of developers, wonderful track record, but as the public, we have a right to at least to maximize the city get the highest and best use conducive to the area. And I personally don't think it's conducive to the area, but on the other hand, if we were all brought in here and that property was marketed 6 to 8 months by a competent broker and we had 3 or 4 proposals that we could look at, I'd say, and if ROC happened to be the winner, I'd say, okay, so be it. The market was fully absorbed. The residents, the people of this community were fully involved. But you know what? That's not the case here. And I think that's my objection. But I know the city has, you know, done very good work. I know all of you work really hard, and I greatly appreciate it. I just wanted to be heard, and just hope that whatever direction we're going is for the greater good.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you.
Can I have your yellow card, please, sir? Thank you. Thanks.
Testing. Can you hear me all right?
We got you.
Yeah, so Ed Faboy, 446 Melrose. Start off by saying that I both have commercial and residential property within a block and a half of this location. And I also have to at least go on record saying I disagree with you, Commissioner, about suggesting that Mayor Leary is going to benefit from this. You can question me, maybe, but I don't think you need to question the mayor. And then secondly, what strikes me as I listen to Commissioner, and I'll get to my point in a second, but you know, I know you've certainly told us in the past about your experience as a procurement officer, in fact, hitting up a very large aerospace
company. Just don't address
I'm sorry.
Just don't address this.
I'll take it back. I'm sorry. Just the fact of knowledge of procurement, your extreme knowledge of procurement. I don't think this is a way that a procurement facility would go forward with this without going back out if indeed after you find that you have that much of a difference. I think you should go out and recompete it. I think those are legal issues as well. But having said that, I definitely agree with what was said about the use of the facility. And again, because I do own property there, I have paid the extra taxes and to look at it as a gateway. And I don't see this facility as adding to that. So very much opposed to it. And I would say, lastly, that I definitely agree with the mayor and with Commissioner Sprinkle that it really hasn't gotten out there, because I came in early just in case, because I figured there wouldn't be enough seats here, and there would be a line going outside the door based on traffic density, based on the architecture and all that, and I didn't find that. So that tells me that not enough people in this town have been made aware of what's going on and to be able to voice their opinion. So again, I'm against it. I would probably agree with Commissioner Seidel that we need to put it back on the street, get a better deal.
Thank you. And folks, just for future reference, if we could not address a specific commissioner, but just the proposal in front of us. Thank you.
Nancy Schutz, 2010 Brandywine Drive.
Unless you want to compliment me, Nancy. That's
Well, actually, I have some, and privately, I do have some tips to share with you, because I'm excited about the congeniality of the commission, and it's a pleasure to watch you all interact
Thank
and
you.
Agree and disagree. So I have been waiting until the club is open, and we're working out together, and I can tell you that. Now I've used up half of my...
Well, you'll get an extra minute. Just okay. Just talk as long as you want.
I would hope we would table this, send it to P&Z, allow the applicant the opportunity to see what he wants to do about the appraisal. We do have a process. The process was followed. Those of us who are informed and engaged in what's going on in Winter Park know that this property has been available for many years. It is not something that's readily wanted by anybody. So the fact that we have an opportunity for something that is needed in the city, we need the type of facility that the applicant has proposed. The architecture and the design, I think, would be very attractive for one of our gateways. Having had a father-in-law with Alzheimer's for 12 years, I am familiar with a place in Sarasota that is similar to the Mayflower, and the needs and the activities that people with memory care have and need. So that I'm very familiar with. The traffic is going to be mainly the employees coming and going, because once you get to that stage, there are limitations of what you can and cannot do, especially if you have Alzheimer's, because getting out of your comfort zone gives you more anxiety, so you need to stay only where you are familiar. So I would hope you would table this and go to P&Z, which we should have done, obviously. Find out if the new appraisal is within range, and then take it from there. That gives everybody the chance to say we did what we should in our process. We gave the applicant. And the fact that nobody knows about this is typical of Winter Park, because this property has been available ever since we made the trade. And so that is no justification for doing this. The people that have businesses there, yes, they're going to complain, but they're going to complain anyway. So that's not a justification. Those are the people you get an email from, because somebody on the block emails all of them and says, hey, you've got to come and call and email and everything else. So the fact that the general public doesn't know, I mean, they don't care. Let's face it, that's the way we are. Unless you have someone that may be using it in the near future. It's an eyesore right now, and what the applicant has proposed would certainly beautify the area, and I think it would be an asset to the commercial corridor. I don't know why people are saying it is not an asset to the commercial corridor, because all of the employees would be making use of the restaurants before or after lunch. So anyway, please table this.
Thank you, Ms. Schultz.
Kim Allen, 1800 West Fawcett. I think it's a fabulous idea. I was listening in and I thought it was such a good idea that I drove down here. And here's why. I can't imagine building anything else there on the railroad tracks except memory care. They're not going to remember that the noise from the traffic of the trains is going by. So I was thinking that's a fabulous situation. There are many other retirement or 55 plus facilities close by. And one of the things I remember that I continue to hear is we need feet on the street. And we need to make this a corridor, whether it's Park Avenue, that was when the shops were empty. We wanted something that would put feet on the street. And I just came this summer from Oklahoma, where I stayed with my parents in an assisted living. And assisted living is 50 and above, and they're very active. And so you're going to see people activate this corridor, and they're going to have money that will come back into the community. So I think this is a fabulous idea. I'll also remind you, I was thinking about the appraisal question, and I think it's important that come closer together. But this is a commission that voted to buy through the CRA, a bowling alley for $3.2 million without an appraisal, or to buy the booby trap at 106 over appraisal. So I'm looking at the appraisal thing, and we also are talking about a very tight budget. I heard that in the coffee talks over and over again. We have big plans, but we have no money. You know, Randy in the update said the visioning process is wonderful, and we're seeing improvement, but it's highly unlikely there'll be enough revenue to implement any of the visioning, any big projects that might come out of visioning. So we need money. So I think it's a fabulous project. I hope you'll rethink this.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Stephanie Henley. I'm at 919 Orange Avenue, and I'm here to complain. I not only sent emails out, I received emails from other people as well alerting me to this. I have a business on Orange Avenue, and I've had that business there for 18 years. I am very involved in Orange Avenue and Progress Point. In fact, I think I know more about it than most people in this room, unfortunately, or fortunately, actually, for a while there. I'm the former president of the Orange Avenue Business Association. It was a very vibrant group. I led this group. I was part of the reason that there is an assessment against these property owners, and I certainly feel a personal responsibility to make sure that whatever goes up there is a benefit to all of us and to the neighborhood behind it as well, because we're certainly sensitive to their needs as well. And part of the reason I know is because we had design charrettes on the site. Several years ago, this was back in 2009, we had design charrettes. They were done. And we had great response from the community, and I would be happy for that to happen again, and that's probably an appropriate thing to happen on this site again. It's something that people don't know about. And usually there's a letter that goes out, and I didn't get anything from anybody. Certainly the property's been for sale for many years, but it hasn't always actively been marketed. So I see there are two issues here that we're talking about. One is the price. It's irresponsible, I would think, to sell it for anything. You don't sell for less than the appraisal unless you're desperate, and I don't think that City Winter Park or this property is a desperate sale. And also is the usage. Not to be insensitive to people who need memory care, but it can go somewhere else. It doesn't have to go here. There are other places for it. Anything that goes here will have an economic development impact that will be positive. Anything that goes here can be made to look beautiful. Anything that goes here will generate jobs. So all of those points are actually moot for this part of the conversation at this point in time. I would like you to reject this plan, send it back out to bid, put it on LoopNet, do it aggressively. It's a great property. One of the reasons that the Orange Avenue Business Association was successful working with the city very closely is because this area is a gateway to Winter Park, which is why the changes were made on that street, and it needs to continue to be a gateway for the Orange Avenue, Designer Row, and the businesses that are on that street. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is David Goggin. I own a company called DBG Promotions, which is actually catty-corner to the property we're discussing today at 1021 Orange Avenue. I'd like to reinforce a couple things that were said today. We've owned that building for about 15 years, and as a community of businesses, we've worked hard to improve the look and the character of that area. We're not a design company ourselves, but we're very cognizant of our neighbors and how important it is to be able to do business in that area. We feel we're good neighbors to Winter Park and that we want to beautify the city and that we want to follow with the plan, which was to make sure that we're not a city that just existed on Park Avenue when we started, and now we have some other areas that have done well, but the area down Orange has really been a non-pedestrian area for a long time. As some have stated, that is considered the gateway into the community straight in from the Orlando area. We're trying to make efforts on Fairbanks to do the same sort of thing. We've tried to stay consistent with what's there. I sincerely appreciate these gentlemen for their plans and their efforts, but I do feel it's not consistent with what we've been working on and supporting in that area. I also think that the tax base that was mentioned that would be added from that property, and all tax bases are important, I'll challenge you that probably the assessment of us as businesses, the additional assessment that we received, is equal to that tax base. And we did that with a specific story and a specific need in our community in mind. This goes against that need. My concern is on what was stated today from these gentlemen, and again with all respect, is if it is a use approval, but it does not really tie into what's being done on the street and for vibrant people who are able to be involved in the community. I am certainly sensitive to the needs of our elderly. My mom is in a memory unit right now and called in hospice last week. I am living it firsthand. I have all the sympathy in the world for these people and the support that's needed. But I don't feel that that spot is going to be conducive to what we've worked so hard for so many years to do on that street. I do think that some of the strengths need to be on the parts that are looking at for add-ons to make this an approved place. Really should be the priorities. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen. Folks, anyone else like to address the commission? One second, Phil. We have one person behind you. No, Bill Sullivan, please come forward. Thanks. And then, Phil, what I'll do is I'll just close the floor to public comment if you want to address the commission.
Great. Hi, Bill Sullivan. I put my work address, which is 1350 Orange Avenue. As you all know, that this area is very soon to be a very vibrant area. You've got the Dimitri block just to the south of this, which is going to be redeveloped at some point, which has the old Lombardi's and Wintergate building and the parking areas and all that area in there. That'll be developing. There's a lot of stuff going on in this entire area. I will tell you that those people are, I'm not speaking here on their behalf, but they asked me to come here and say this, they're totally against a memory care system being there. Mike has told me that he doesn't want that there. You know, he thinks that a nursing home is not the right use for that spot. I also want to point out to you that the neighbors behind there have not been noticed. They've not been told what's going to happen in this area. It's almost appalling that you're almost willing to approve a use for a project without telling the neighborhood that there's something going on behind there. I mean, come on. We have the city of Winter Park. We're better than this. This is wrong. You've got to at least tell people what you're doing. And as far as notification of the, you know, for the people out there to buy the thing, remember, we are Winter Park. This is a great piece of property, possibly one of the best pieces of property to come on the market in a long time. I mean, I benefit nothing if a national firm goes out there and markets this property and finds a buyer. But I will tell you right now that I want the best possible use ever to be found for that specific block. We don't have this many opportunities to change this town. This is one of them. Let's remember that there's all these businesses on Orange Avenue that have designed. They go around and they're doing all that design work on there. These people are there. We need to remember who these people are. They're already there. They already bought into this area. Don't forget about them. Now, they may not have written to you because they probably are not aware that today we are about to approve a use. Just keep this in mind. This is not just your normal thing. I would recommend that in the future the process be changed in that you go out to market a lot stronger. You bring it out to a national firm like it was suggested from this board. You then turn around, and before you put it on a national thing, you go ahead and entitle this piece. You go ahead and decide what you want on this property. Not just go ahead and go out and sell it like you're doing right now. Go ahead, entitle it, get input from every neighbor out there, and let them decide what they want there. And then, you know, then you can put it out on the market with what you want. Because the notice for proposal said that your maximum was 17 units the acre. I'll do the math for you. 17 to the units the acre times 4 acres is, what, 60 units or 70 units? 70 units, and then, you know, the retail on top of that. The problem is that you don't really know what you can do beyond there. It could be a mixed use with office, residential and commercial. It's a good enough block to hold that. The other one more issue to keep in mind is that the parking issue for all those neighbors that are back there, they all park on the street. They all have a four-hour parking sign in front of their buildings. They have limited parking there. The city really should address the parking and potentially build a parking garage back there along the railroad tracks to begin with. And then from there, then figure out what you're going to do. You've got a huge parking problem in that area, and you're not addressing it. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill. We're going to close the floor to public comment. Phil, would you like to?
Thank you very much for all the comments that have been shared. We, you know, I've learned a lot about some of the sensitivities. David, I would also share that I'm a Georgia Tech graduate, a civil engineer, and I think it's a fantastic use. But the good thing is we both support the football team. I appreciate the concerns that y'all have. You know, as part of the process that was unfolded, you know, we think it followed processes that a lot of people follow. We had an invitation to present something that we think would be a fantastic option for the city of Winter Park. We know that there are great options at the Mayflower and Winter Park Towers. We also know that really hasn't been anything built that's new and state-of-the-art in Winter Park or Maitland or this side of Orlando in 25 years. You know, we think this is the opportunity to create the flagship. You know, we've owned communities in Beverly Hills, right in urban centers. We've owned communities in Sarasota, Tampa Bay. They tend to rejuvenate and invigorate, you know, some of these communities. Certainly memory care is one aspect of the need, but the assisted living is another thing. And I would invite you to go and sort of take a look at a couple of communities to really see how they can invigorate a community. You know, this is a flagship opportunity. That opportunity is not lost on us, and we appreciate the ability to sort of move forward. We would be happy to work with staff in bridging the gap between our proposal and where the appraisal is. So thank you for the opportunity. We appreciate your help. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay. Mr. Mayor?
Yes, too.
Just so you know, to answer your question, there is no conflict of interest because any benefit would be too remote or speculative.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Commissioner McMackin, I will ask you if you'd like to consider your tabling comment. Again, I think it might get support.
The motion I was prepared to make was to ask the table with two pieces of that, two directions with that. One is that this site and this project go back and be reviewed by planning and zoning. And secondly, that the applicant meet with staff and see if the differential in the appraised price and the offer can be eliminated. And I cannot sell the property for less than what has been appraised at. And so with that, I'd like to move to table.
Move to table takes precedent. I'll look for a second, which I will second. Randy, can I have a roll call, or do you need to do this individually?
A roll call.
I'm sorry. Would you let you want it individually?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think
a roll call is what I think it is.
Yeah, I know. I doubled down on that. Sorry.
Cindy, maybe the answer is easier.
Yes, right? Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Yes, sir. Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you all very much. Thank you for the commentary, Phil. Thank you for bringing this in and presenting it. We do appreciate it.
Mr. Mayor and Commissioners, can I just ask from the standpoint of staff, what do you want P&Z to bring back to you? I mean, I don't want to have the applicant spend a whole lot more money or time on this site plan.
I think that's
so
very wise.
What type of direction is it that you feel that you would like us to bring back to you?
Steve, please. I was including you in that and your desire to have planning and zoning.
Thank you.
So I'm willing to.
I'd like planning. I'd like P&Z to put their P hat on, their planning hat on, and give us some ideas of what would be appropriate for this. I'd like some input from seeing what we've heard from the neighbors tonight, who the ones that came to speak that actually home businesses there, I think have said that this is not what they're looking for. So I'd certainly like that perspective. I'd like a perspective of what could be there and what they would accept. And I think you should reach out to the neighbors to let them know what when the P&Z meeting is taking place, so that they could possibly come in and comment and inform that decision.
Do you want the P&Z to look at this site plan, or do you want it to be a scratch project?
I personally would say a scratch project. Just tell me what you envision. I think the point was made tonight by one of the speakers, and I can't remember who it was, that we are not in desperate need of money. We do not need to go out and sell this space. So if we had our druthers, what would we want on that space from scratch? And I think that's the opportunity. There's been parking issues brought up. We had some neighbors say that there's parking. We've had the folks from Mead Gardens write in to say that's a backup for them. I mean, I think that needs to all be kind of considered.
Thank you. I appreciate the clarification.
Is that okay with you guys?
That's fine, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I guess kind of that's why I was asking about the process in the beginning, is they put all this together, but if we're going to planning and zoning, obviously, what are we asking planning and zoning to look at it themselves and say, hey, this would be great if we got this to come on the site?
What they're looking at from a dirt perspective. From a dirt and a neighborhood perspective, what from a planning perspective goes there, best fits in with the neighborhood, and gives the city...
But with what they're trying to build, that's what I'm trying to understand.
They can certainly look at a system. They can certainly look at an ALF.
But like, for example, if they change that one section to shops and restaurants, and then have what they want to do in the back, is that something?
For the purpose of this discussion, Commissioner?
Yeah. I don't understand the process, I guess. That's where I'm like, we're going completely away from what we've just been doing, and we're switching gears.
My perspective was for them to look at this from a dirt perspective, what goes in the neighborhood. I don't want to get them in here and relay out. That's getting way ahead of themselves. If we do approve this in the future, then they can certainly sit down with the developer and revise it. But so right now, look at it as a piece of dirt and what goes best with the community. What does the community
need? Well, is it planning and zoning would then look to see if they would approve this site plan? Is that what I'm hearing?
No. Right now, this is tabled. I don't expect P&Z to do anything on this. This has been a tabled discussion.
Am I missing something?
I'm very confused with the process and very uncomfortable with just...
What I have heard, and I believe what the mayor is asking for is... What we've heard this evening, at least what I've heard, is that there are a number of people in the community, especially neighbors, that are uncomfortable with the use.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. And I believe what we're asking P&Z to do is to not look at the site plan, but to come back and say, what are the potential uses on this site that would be potentially compatible with the neighborhood? I don't believe that excludes this use.
Agreed.
And so I just want to make sure that we have all the options in front of us when we're prepared to act on this again. And so it's not a site plan review at all. I'm not disappointed with the site plan if this use is approved here. It's a look at...
Okay, if they come back and say this use is okay... Right.
That they potentially.
Then we are where we were today,
and we have the assurance that the people that we have entrusted as a board to look at these things have looked at that and have come back and said yes. In our opinion, it still falls back on us to make the final decision. But we have a group of individuals on a board that in the past we always have entrusted their.
And then so that would be advertised that they're looking to change.
Yes,
the
I think the direction would be that.
But they don't know what zonings are going to approve, right? They could do other ones as well.
I think you're getting way ahead of yourself right now.
I'm trying to understand what would be advertised as P&Z's action.
A discussion on possible uses for the Progress Point site.
Isn't this zoned office now? Okay, so just in all fairness to ourselves, folks, okay, this is zoned office now. We put up a notice of disposal. We really did not know what was going to happen. So this came in. We zoned it office. It was already zoned office. It's been that way since our land development code and everything we've got's in there. So when you come in with something like this, you're coming in with a big switch. Okay, you're looking at making a big change, and that we haven't had any feedback from anybody till tonight as to what that's going to look like and what it's going to mean, and particularly what it's going to mean to the people who've been paying a fee that they opted in for to change Orange Avenue. So those people need to be talked to and heard from, just like the neighbors do, and we got out too fast, guys. It needs to happen.
I don't disagree with that, and I think my motion was to say, all right, let's take a step. Sometimes to go forward, you have to take a step back. Take a step back.
Great.
Touch all the bases. We've heard input this evening. There's a lot more people that we need to hear input from.
Right.
I totally agree. This is one of those rare instances where the city has an amalgamated piece of property here that it can actually be something. It may be.
Just have it up to us with the recommended process, Steve, and so we can kind of look at it and see what's happening.
I think they're going to take it to P&Z, and we'll hear back from P&Z. I think direction is pretty clear to staff.
Yes.
Guys, I'm going to cease discussion on this. I think we've covered everything. Are we all good with this?
I'm good with that.
Great. I appreciate everybody's input. Let's take a 15-minute break, and then we'll come back and then we'll take public comment, and then we'll discuss budget comments. Thank you all. Anything that the public would like to speak to us about that's not in front of the commission tonight, I will include the possible notice of disposal for Blake Yard or the discussion about that. I know there's some people that wanted to talk about that earlier, and we didn't take action on it, so we didn't take comment. But if anybody's here to talk about Blake Yard, please feel free as well.
Nancy Schultz, 2010 Brandy One Drive. My two comments about the budget, but they're not going to be on the budget, so I figure I can talk about them.
You've been doing this the last couple of weeks.
I was concerned to hear last week that the Public Works budget had only gone up 1% over the years, and all of a sudden, I'm sure at least one of you are one of the people that if you see a crooked mirror or crooked picture, you've got to go fix it. You know, you've got to have it straight. Well, for some reason, I started looking at the storm drain inlets. And a lot of them on the right-of-ways of city property are black. So as we're looking to see how our city appears to our residents and our guests, that might be something that we might want you to consider. The biggest example that I have, the storm drain inlet at the cemetery at Lakemont and Glen Ridge is black. The wall at the cemetery is black. At Azalea Lane tennis courts, the wall around the tennis courts is black. And as I came in today from the parking lot behind us, the storm drain inlet right there at the sidewalk before you walk up to the building is black. So I invite you to start looking at these and all the ones that are city right-of-way property. We might want to consider a means of cleaning them up. My other comment, I just wanted to go on record to say that I was disappointed that after all the time, effort, and energy the Utility Advisory Board put into making a policy statement, that it has not come before the public or before the commission so people even know it is out there. They were concerned after so much publicity, mainly about Dr. Phillips' money, that some of the utility revenue coming from sewer and water was coming from that revenue, which is sort of against, I don't know whether it's our charter or our ordinance. Anyway, it's not really something. I know Randy last year went and asked Mother May I to use a small percentage of that, but our budget is always, we do these things each year. But my biggest comment is that the policy statement should have been discussed with you all and acknowledged, because a lot of energy was put into, and there was a lot of public interest, and there was a lot of public that showed up when they were doing their policy statement, asking that at least you give them the courtesy of when you want to use some of their revenue, that you would come and let them know about it and ask them about it. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Schultz. Regarding the storm drains, T. Attaway at cityofwinterpark.org.
Well,
by Dean Marcotte.
Yes.
And
we'll certainly
T. Can you also explain the way that works about whose monies and the percentages? Because I'm not sure that Mrs. Schutz got all of that information, because what she said was we did something that we didn't do.
Well,
so
what she said a couple of things. One is that the Utility Advisory Board adopted a policy or a policy statement a couple months ago. I did send that to all the commissioners.
You did.
So you did have the benefit of their advice. The policy that is in question is one the commission adopted last fiscal year, but it wasn't. It's still policy today, and that is to use 0.25% of the gross revenues of the general fund, electric fund, and of the water and sewer fund, but it's coming from the water side of those revenues.
Right.
And so that's the policy that is on, you know, that is currently adopted and followed. And so that generates a pot of money that is available for organizational support.
Thank you.
Yes. Including all the organizations that we support.
And it is important that that's really clear, Randy, because I do get a lot of questions because of the charter issue with the sewage.
Stop shopping in that supermarket. Chuck,
Chuck Woodall, Newport National Development. I didn't want to speak on the previous Progress Energy site against the gentleman's plan or say anything about it, but now that we're in public discussion, that was a project that we took a look at as a company, and we purposefully passed on addressing that site. I think it's a great piece of property. And I just wanted to give you guys the insight of why we passed on it, because I think that site was, from me looking at it, a great site to do residential above retail with a restaurant on the corner, nice retail shops below. It's not going to command the same type of retail we can get on 1792, because you're not going to get nationals there, and you can't get tenants to pay the same price, because you just won't get the same amount of traffic there. And that's just a fact of retail. But a site like that at the price, it's about the same size as the Mount Vernon Inn property we bought. And, I was talking to Stephanie, she's gone, but I told her, I said, I'd love to buy a site like that, but for us to do it, we would have to have some density, and that's what your P&Z may not come back at, because they're going to probably look inside your current code. But if I were to buy that site, I would want to do 70, 80, 90 residential units above retail, which would invigorate the street with restaurants below, and it would create some traffic there that would benefit those businesses. But we didn't attempt to go at it, because what's happened previously on 1792, as you well know, was just shot down with howitzer. And that's something, as P&Z looks at these things. If you really want to get the type of development that really helps that street, because there's nobody who's going to be able to go buy a site like that and just build strip retail on it and pay the price of $5.6 million. If you have the density, you can. But to pay $5.6 million and build retail that's going to generate you $22 to $28 a square foot won't pay for that site. So anyhow, there's something to consider in P&Z. You should look at, and that's just speaking as a developer, that I would be interested if that type of zoning was available, but in its current state and the mindset that's been passed on to us, it's just something we purposefully passed on.
Sure.
So you're saying it won't support retail?
It won't support retail at that price with the density on it of, to go build 25 or 30,000 square feet on that site at the rents that you're going to get and have to build a parking structure. It won't work. Financially, it won't work.
And office is what it's zoned right now. Would you ever touch it for office?
It's even worse. Office rents are half that. Maybe three quarters that. So it's a tougher sell. But you can get people. But if you do a mixed use, mixed use works great. We can't seem to get it done in a park. But we did it in Baldwin Park. It worked great. It's a great mixed use site, and I wish people would look at it that way, because we absolutely have an interest in the run of the property. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate the insight. Anybody else? Okay, we'll close the floor for public comment. Hey, guys, we're going to get into the budget discussion here. I have some opening remarks to meet my statutory requirement, and then we will proceed. Randy, keep me in line here.
All right.
The millage rate needed for fiscal year 2016 to generate the same property tax revenue for the city as in 2015, based on the property appraiser certification, is 3.8774 mills. The budget proposed by the staff, with amendments generally agreed to by the City Commission, requires a millage of 4.0923 mills, which has been the rate levied by the city for the last 7 years. The proposed millage of 4.0923 mills will represent an increase in property taxes not counting new construction, and the city's dedicated increment value payment to the Community Redevelopment Agency of 5.54%. This increase in property taxes levied over the prior year is not due to any change in tax rate, but is due to the increase in assessed values of properties. In addition, a 0.0892 mil voted debt service is levied to cover the debt service of general obligation bonds, Series 2004, approved by the citizens of Winter Park at the June 4, 1996 bond referendum. And a 0.1858 mil voted debt service is levied to cover the debt service of the general obligation bonds, Series 2011, approved by the citizens of Winter Park at the May 16, 2000 bond referendum. Now, Randy, we have a simultaneous public hearing on two ordinances. These will be for the an ordinance setting the millage rate for 2016 and an ordinance adopting the fiscal 2016 budget. Two, would you please read those?
Yes. An ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, adopting 4.0923 mil ad valorem tax levy upon all real and personal property for appropriation to the general operating expenses of the city, a 0.0892 mil voted debt service levy upon all real and personal property for the appropriation to the City of Winter Park, Florida, general obligation bonds, Series 2004, and a 0.1858 mil voted debt service levy upon all real and personal property for appropriation to the City of Winter Park, Florida, general obligation bonds, Series 2011. And the other ordinance is an ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, adopting the annual budget for the fiscal year beginning October 1, 2015, and ending September 30, 2016, and accompanying five-year capital improvements plan, appropriating funds for the General Fund, Designations Trust Fund, Stormwater Utility Fund, Community Redevelopment Fund, Federal Forfeiture Fund, Police Grant Fund, Debt Service Fund, Water and Sewer Fund, Electric Utility Fund, Fleet Maintenance Fund, Vehicle Equipment Replacement Fund, Employee Insurance Fund, General Insurance Fund, Cemetery Trust Fund, General Capital Projects Fund, and Stormwater Capital Projects Fund, providing for modifications, providing for amendments to said annual budget to carry forward the funding of purchase orders outstanding and unspent project budgets as of September 30, 2015, and authorizing transfer of funds here appropriate between departments so long as the total fund appropriations shall not be increased thereby.
Great. We'll need two separate motions.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move the millage ordinance.
Second.
And I'd also like to move the budget, proposed budget ordinance.
Great.
Second.
Excellent. We've discussed this through workshops and other venues, folks. So if you're okay with it, I'd just like to open up the floor to public comment, and then we'll take it back up here. We will open the floor to public comment on the budget and the two ordinance changes before us, if anybody would like to address the commission. Great. Seeing none, we will close the floor to public comment. Any comment up here, guys? Any further discussion?
Mr. Mayor, just for the record, the item Joe discussed at the work session are incorporated into the ordinance as presented to you tonight. So that would be the two additional police officers at $170,000, the tree purchases and watering at $100,000, golf course renovation at $1.2 million, show water field improvements at $180,000, the municipal fiber study at $30,000, the electric rate increase at 1.5%, which also generates $100,000 for the general fund through the utility franchise fees, and then the state revenue estimate increase of $100,000 for this, which is in sales tax and communication services taxes.
Randy, the only question I have is on the electric fund increase. Is that not under the fee schedule?
It is also in the fee schedule, yes, sir. Okay. That's the formal place that gets changed.
Okay, Commissioner Cooper.
Randy, I just want to make sure I understand that the funding for the golf course will come out of reserves, and reserves will be replenished through our real estate transactions this year.
Is that
our agreement?
That is our understanding.
That was what we were hoping to do, yes.
Yes. Okay, folks, if you'll allow, Randy, I have one more thing to read, correct? before we vote? Right, you yes. Can we find that?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I have a quick question. The emails we've been getting from the sustainability work folks.
Oh, good question.
Yeah, is that something, apparently they've been trying to raise funds and they're short, and is that we have contingency money to deal with that?
The sustainability board has about $40,000 left. Peter, is that right?
For Keep One of Our Beautiful?
Yeah, Keep One of Our Beautiful and Sustainable. That's money that they raised through the dance lessons and sales of benches and that type of thing over the years. They're seeing that money dry up over time as there's less benches, very few benches we can still sell at this point, no more places to put them. And so they're asking for some funding for some items like their Earth Day celebration, as well as they want an intern to help them out. So that they're seeing that money that they've already raised dry up, and they're looking for some support from the general fund.
And I guess from a timing perspective, we're just kind of hearing about it now.
Right.
And that's why I'm just questioning, is there, you know, as we go through the year, if some of these sales takes place, there'll be some additional funds, and we could do some funds. And it seems kind of late in the game for me, that's all.
Right. It is something we could fund at a later date if you chose to, if we wanted to put more money towards the Earth Day celebration or any of those activities.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
My question about intern, though, is that a normal process that would come from a board for you to do an intern? I mean, I know we can ask, but I don't want that in my plate. I want you making those decisions,
well,
okay?
I understand.
And I'd like to understand all the board's needs before we go off. And I mean, I would definitely like to deal with the Earth Day. That's important. But as far as an intern goes, I'd like to understand more of all the boards.
So can we have a discussion about that at some other time?
Yes,
because I don't think anybody, unless that someone's prepared to move something into the budget at this stage.
Yeah.
Okay. So
well,
let's
I am hoping we can help them with Earth Day. Randy, do you have enough residual someplace to help with Earth Day? Because that is a
they have $40,000 now.
Yeah, I mean, the question that needs to be discussed as a policy question is how much money do we want to spend for an event that doesn't have that many attendees. I mean, it's a very
so it's
nice
just
event.
Too deep for today's.
Yeah, I mean, we can get it. We'd like to, if we want to have any conversation in the future, we can come back and talk to you about attendance and what is
that's
our goal.
What we just discussed. So let's. So unless someone's prepared to make a motion on that, let's. Are we good then?
Like yes.
Before, but let's have another state, Randy, talk about boards. And
yes, sir.
Thank you. Okay. The City Commission of the City of Winter Park is going to adopt an operating millage of 4.0923, which represents a property tax levy that is 5.54% higher than the rolled back rate of 3.8774 mils due to increases in assessed values. All right. Cindy, can we call the roll?
Yes.
Define. We are on the first ordinance, which is setting the millage rate for 2016. Please read the roll.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McNacken?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. And now the second, which is an ordinance adopting the fiscal 2016 budget.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McNacken?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you so much. Okay. We are at the selection of the city attorney. Randy, am I turning this over to you?
Yes, sir. You have in your packet two contract options for the city attorney. As you recall, last Monday you heard proposals from the various city attorney options, and you ranked the I'm trying to get to that item.
Law firm of Fishback Dominic?
Yes, the Fishback Dominic firm, number one. In their proposal, they had a fee structure proposed of $5,500 a month that would have covered the first 30 hours. In negotiations with them, they said they would also agree to a proposal of 80 hours a month at $15,500, and then their hourly rate beyond that. So those are the two contract options that are before you. Of those two, staff recommends the 80-hour approach. As you know, we currently budget about $25,000 a month, and that is still what's in the budget for next year. So it's not that we can only spend $15,500; it's that it becomes hourly after that 80 hours.
Okay.
Randy, what was the difference between that rate and the hourly rate?
What is the hourly rate?
Depends on the...
Are you asking what does 80 hours work out to be at 55?
Well, I mean, we go and the reason I ask that is we've budgeted 25 in the past, and based on the information that you sent out on our usage, I mean, we're currently using the attorneys about 200 hours a month.
Right.
And that
doesn't mean we want to continue doing that.
But the point being is that we're cutting this by almost two-thirds.
Right. Which is
and
not
saying okay, our you know, and anything up and above 80 hours is that time and a half? Is that
once you're above 80 hours, you're at the hourly rate that's spelled out in the contract, which is the senior partners at $225 an hour and the associates at $200 an hour.
And what are we currently paying? Significantly lower than that. I just don't remember how much. Under 200 an hour.
Yes, under 200. I didn't go back and look at that, but we don't pay that because it's all in the...
And here it is, $165 an hour is what we're currently paying for attorneys.
But it's under the 25.
It's all in the... Unless we're in litigation.
Right. Well, I'll be honest. That was the... When I went through the review process, I had... the Garganishi firm and this firm 1 point apart, and that was it for me when I looked at it. And I was in hopes that after we discussed our need for more coverage within our retainer, that they would also come back with a non-capped retainer. Mm-hmm. And I do see that we use 200, 220, 250 sometimes. And Sarah, while I appreciate your desire that we use less, the fact of the matter is that's what we have used in the past. And if we can improve that by 10% or 20%, I get that. But for me, with a cap of 80 hours, I'm no longer comfortable with my personal selection. And I'm going to be asking that we consider the Garganishi firm, only because they were 1 point different. Their hourly rate is significantly less, plus they have no cap on their retainer for us and have been extremely responsive. So that's the struggle I had, was I was hoping that negotiation would result in no cap, or at least a cap close to the 200 hours that we use.
I would like to point out also, Mr. Arterman is here if you have any questions of the proposer.
But there's no way to negotiate further.
Absolutely negotiate further.
I will just comment on this because it is definitely a hot button for me, and I think the fact that we've been using over 200 hours of legal fees a month is inexcusable, and that I would charge Randy with absolutely creating SOPs that staff can follow, that if we're going to be using regularly 200 plus hours a month, then we need our own staff person who's an attorney for the city. I saw in here in the agreement that you wanted to look at this again after 6 months, and I think that's very wise to see what we're doing. But I think the idea that even us sitting up here would pick up the phone on a Sunday and call a lawyer is a bit over the top, okay? I think we get our packets on Wednesday, and if we can't work within our own work week and their work week, then we need to start and absolutely use some discretion when it comes to how we make those calls. Now, we need to talk about it further among ourselves. Certainly, Randy will have to do that with his staff, because there obviously hasn't been that in place to be using. That's more than 10 hours a day, okay? More than 10 hours a day, we've been using staff attorneys, and that's just a lot of time to be calling on attorneys. So, I just think it's an issue for a city our size to be doing that. So I would not, certainly not be in favor of bringing it back at this late date, Carolyn, because...
Well, this isn't a late date.
No, it is for me. Yeah, it is for me. So I would certainly say that if we need to look at it further, that's fine, but I can't go down that path.
I just didn't want you to feel like this was a last-minute issue. We, as a committee, made a recommendation to the commission, and now I am looking at it as the commission after having the opportunity for Randy to go back and negotiate a workable plan for us.
what I see is a cap of 80 hours. If I look back over just our meetings in the last few years, we're up to like 15 or 16 hours just between the commission and the PNC. That has nothing to do with all of the work that the staff does, and the staff does a tremendous amount of work. Some of us have an advantage of attorneys within our firms we can talk to, some within our families. Others of us have to rely on the city attorney. And I understand the commission's part of this is very small, but still, I don't ever want to feel like I cannot pick up the phone and call my attorney and get advice, nor do I want any director of this city to feel like they can't do the same thing. I appreciate, Sarah, I appreciate if we need to be more conservative or get better procedures for doing that, but we're a long way between 80 hours and 200, and some of these months were 250, some of them were as low as 129, but they averaged out to about 200 hours, and between 80 and 200 is a long time, especially when the per hour rate is as high as it is compared to our existing attorney. So for me, I definitely would like the opportunity for us to at least consider that in this deliberation, because they're only 1 point apart, so we've got two good attorneys, both which will do a good job for us. There's no doubt about that.
Okay, so I'm looking at this then, Randy. Correct me if I'm wrong. We have $25,000 budgeted on a monthly basis, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we're at 15.5 as of this contract with 80 hours, so the additional $9,500 buys us
roughly
45
hours.
So we're now at 120 hours, which I think is a significant amount of hours.
And while it mentions it in this contract, also, but it's not a policy the commission has adopted. And they mentioned to me in the negotiations that in their other cities, they have developers pay for the attorney fees of their project when they propose it. You know, they put up the money for the city's attorney fees, because we wouldn't be incurring those fees were it not for their project.
Sure.
And so that's something that would come back to the city commission for consideration, but that would help offset some of those hours we're doing above the 140 or whatever.
You know, that's really interesting to me, and I think it's something we should consider, but I will say that having spoken to the current city attorney, there are many hours spent, and there are many hours that are, you know, I'd say monopolized, and we need to make sure that we do a better job. Individuals sitting at this desk right here and staff, we need to do a better job of managing those. And I think we, as I said last time, we have an incredibly talented staff, very well-versed. They have tons of experience. And, you know, it is always helpful to be able to pick up the phone and call the city attorney, but I think we just need to be a little bit more judicious about how we do that. And I'm comfortable. I'm going to move option two right now, and I'll look for a second.
Second.
And I think, Commissioner, I hear what you're saying. I don't want you to ever feel that you can't call the city.
Or any director.
Or anybody.
Yeah,
it's critical. But I think I've also found the city manager to be pretty responsive.
I call
Randy for most things, and he will say, you know, based on my experience, here's the way to go. Or he'll be the first to say, I'm out of my league, call the city attorney, or call Larry. So I think we keep an eye on it, and if we start to go over, then we have that discussion and we look at it a little bit more. But let's give it a shot. Let's keep people a little bit. Let's hold people a little bit more accountable for the expenses to the citizens. And
it's a huge gap between 120 hours, which is what we just calculated would be available to us,
and that's at the highest rate, too.
Right? Yep. At any one of our monthly usages. So
if I can weigh in, I'm uncomfortable with the 80 hours.
Okay.
And the fact that we have $25,000 budgeted and we get 40 extra hours, I mean, we're actually getting fewer hours for the same amount of money.
Very fair point.
At that. And so I would like to see us go back and see if that 80 hours at a base rate cannot be. I mean, if he wanted to come in at 120 hours at the base rate, I'd be willing to go there and call it a day, but I'm really uncomfortable with compared to 280. I don't doubt that we can be more efficient. To say that we can be, you know, 80% more, 70% more efficient, I don't know that we can do that. out of the bat. And I'd like to see the 80 hours upgraded, and I'm willing to ask the city manager in a motion to go back and have that further discussion. I'm just uncomfortable with that large a gap from where we are. And,
okay.
And again, I just, yes, we need to be better. I couldn't agree more.
Okay.
But I think that kind of better is going to be really
difficult to and squeeze in.
Yeah, and I don't want to do that over a six-month period. I'd like to have something up front and say, hey, we're going to be able to stick to that.
All right.
That's just where...
That's fair. Thank you.
Yeah, so the way I understand the 80 hours is going to be, is they're going to bill us 15.5 for 80 hours, whether they work 20, they work 80. When they get over 80, so the question is, do we do a retainer that's higher hours? So we're saying 100 or 120, and then so we're going to pay that whether they work the lower. Well, our current attorney, their low month, I think he said it was around 120.
The low month was 170 of this past year.
170.
129 in December.
Okay. So.
Oh, sorry. Yes, that's correct. Sorry.
So I guess kind of given that and the, you know, it's to go too much higher if we're trying to cut back on the attorney use, right? I mean, I was trying to figure out we came up with the 80. That's what I was trying to focus on that. Is that the right number? Is it, you know, do we do something a little bit higher than that and see how that goes for 6 months, right? That's
well, and part of the 80, as I understand, is what is being offered at a different rate than the, you know, we're getting that at a rate that's different than the hours that would be above 80.
Correct.
And so yeah. What I want to do is have that.
Well, it's kind of a conglomerate, too. I mean, they can have lower level staff and do certain things.
I'm not paying for the lower level staff. I'm paying for the best legal advice the city can afford, and because that's what's out in front of us when we have to call an attorney. So I'm just.
Right, but they've got legal assistance, paralegals, and law firms.
I'm uncomfortable with the 80 hours. I mean, I'm not
willing
to pay time and a half after 80 hours. That's what we're being asked to do, and I'm just not there.
Well, and I think that's fair, but I do, again, I want to focus because I think Commissioner Sprinkle made the point. I mean, at 200 hours at a 20-day work week, or 20-day work month, I mean, 10 hours a day? The attorneys
and we're not saying that. Yeah. We're saying 80 hours is not coming.
Yeah, but even still, so 5 hours. At 120 hours, 5 hours a day of an attorney's time? That just seems a heck of a lot. And that's why I was okay with this and seeing how this goes and if we need to revisit in a couple months. Otherwise, from here on out, Tom, and I take your point, too. So what is that number? Is it 100? Is it 120? Is it 140? It's an arbitrary number that we've got to pick one number and go with it.
And I'm just stating my uncomfortable going from 200 to 80.
Yeah.
And my comfort level is probably about 100 or 120, I'm very comfortable with that number, and that's where I'd like to see us. And if that doesn't work in 6 months, but that's going to take going back because obviously they negotiated the $80 in the retainer at a at an hourly rate that's different than their normal rate, and that's.
So let me do this. Would you mind if I asked? I'm not sure if Kurt, if you're willing to address any of this now. I don't want to negotiate with you in public. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's fair to you.
No.
I think you've heard the concerns of some members of this commission that we need to get a little bit different. And if we table this, guys, I hate to keep tabling things, but if we table this for now and have the city manager go back and speak with Mr. Arneman, is that okay for you guys?
Yeah, I do have one question on that. On that mix, Tom, for Vic, you had talked about wanting the $225 an hour attorney.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's not how it works.
That's not what it says here.
Yeah. I think Tom was just making the point.
Yeah. But okay. So
simplifying it so that I can
understand it. Okay. So it's however they get to that 80 hours, whether it's the top end or the bottom end,
it's more, I believe, the challenge is on us. And to me, this is like going on a diet. I don't know if I can start eating, that much less all at once, and I'd be much more comfortable kind of sliding that back a little at a time, and I'd like to have, as you said, we can table this and have a city manager talk with that firm and see if there's a way to...
Before I make a motion to table, Kurt, do you want to say anything, or do you want to just...
I mean, happy to.
Okay, please. Please, I just want to give you that opportunity before we table.
It's always tough.
I'm Kurt Arneman. 1947 Lee Road, Winter Park, Florida, 34734. Back down on the firm. Tough decision. We are very efficient. We don't have and will not assign
14 lawyers to work on Winter Park matters. We've got five lawyers. You met those five. They're in commission chambers. You talked to them. We've assigned specific areas for each one of them and had conversations with Randy and came up with the 80 hours as what staff thought would be good to shoot at, with the understanding that, and I think Randy acknowledges, it's a little shift. It's a shift in how staff deals with it. But ask staff to spend a little more time in developing its, whatever it is, if it's an ordinance or a proposal, with more facts, with more planning, with more data that they can feed before it comes to us as the lawyers. At that point, number one, it'll give us a lot more data that we can deal with quickly instead of having to go back and forth, which burns up time and money. That would give us an opportunity then to be much more efficient as well. So we think there can be a substantial savings both because the lawyers are assigned and because of the extra effort that staff have made. So we think that that is very doable. The 120 hours, 125 hours, which would work out to about the $25,000 a month. So we think that's a great plan. And the other thing, I wouldn't wait 6 months. I'd go a month or a day, I mean, whatever you, but you look at it and say, Kurt, this isn't working. And deal with it. We've put in the contract that if you're not happy, bye-bye. And we're fine with that. And that's the way we do, that's our contract with each of our three cities right now. If they're not happy with us for whatever reason, they can say goodbye. There's no 30-day notice or 90-day notice, because we're very open to communication. We talk one-on-one commissioners whenever you need to. 2 a.m. I don't really like, but hopefully that happens.
I don't either.
So we think it's a fair proposal. I think we're ready to start October 1. It's the beginning of your fiscal year. It's all set. I hate to get into calculating numbers right now. If you want a higher number, I guess we can figure that out. But I think don't wait 6 months. Wait 30 days or 60 days. Then come back under the 80 hours, because that's what staff, I think, wants to challenge itself. And it will really help everybody. It'll help staff have a better perspective, each individual member, department head as well, and us, and you. So I think it's a very fair proposal. We're willing to talk if you would like to do that more, but I think we're ready to get started.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to talk more.
You'd like to talk more?
Okay.
There's a motion on the table. I would say that I appreciate that perspective, too, that he's going to challenge us, which I like, and hold us to it. So while it may not be 80, I would hope it's nowhere near 200.
No, I don't want to go there. What I'm saying is I think the challenge, that's a 120-hour challenge out of 200 is a big challenge.
Well, and I think it'll stifle the
quality. And I'd like to just have that a little less of a challenge.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to beat it to death, but there are a lot of other cities that don't use 200-plus hours a month. I know that we are exceptional. I understand that. I believe in that. I'm all in favor of that. But I do believe, and this is the thing I loved hearing from both Randy and from Kurt, which is they've already planned for this. They've got staff ready to work on it. I can't imagine why we think the staff can't do that. So I would love to see them move forward tonight. We've already got you've already moved it, motioned on the table, and it's seconded. I'd like to see it move forward, and then if, in fact, it doesn't work, we come back and look at it again. But I think you've got people prepped and ready to go with a new way of looking at how we use legal.
I believe that it will negatively impact decisions that are made if people are not comfortable to seek legal counsel. I am perfectly comfortable being challenged, and to me a challenge might be 20%, but to go from 80 hours to our average of 200 hours is more than a reasonable challenge. And I think that it will negatively impact, it will have a very chilling effect on how comfortable people are picking up the phone and asking for legal advice. So I'm very uncomfortable with it, and I'm so sorry. I will not be able to support this.
That's okay. If there's a motion on the table, we can also, if someone cared to make a motion on the table, we can do that. Direct staff to go back and continue discussions.
Oh, I've done it once. I might as well do it twice tonight, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to move the table with the direction that staff go back and discuss with the proposed city attorney that the 80 hours be increased, and I'm going to say 120 hours as a goal. And
okay. There's a motion to table.
Second.
That has been precedent. That has been seconded. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Sure. Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
No.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
No. Okay, that has been tabled. Randy, I think you have some direction. Kirk, thank you. Appreciate it. We've got a little bit more work to do, and hopefully we'll get to we'll get somewhere soon. Okay, we have 11A. Is this story?
I think two gets to read.
Oh, I apologize. Two, would you please read the ordinance?
Is it the 1880 ordinance amending the workhouse?
Yes, workforce housing. Thank you.
An ordinance of the city of Winter Park, Florida, amending ordinance number 1883, affordable housing, so as to expand the program to include workforce housing, providing definitions, providing for severability, codification, conflicts, and an effective date.
Thank you. Dory, this is second reading, correct?
Yes, it is, yes, sir.
Were there changes between this one and the previous?
There were no changes made to the ordinance.
Great.
If we want to go ahead, I'm going to go ahead and move the ordinance.
Sure.
I'll second.
Great. Any discussion on this?
A question for Dory. Dory, I'm really struggling with understanding why we want to do this, and let me tell you why. We're talking about defining affordable workforce housing as people who make 120% of the Orange County median. That's almost $63,000. And that's middle class to me, and I think to most of the country, it's kind of middle class. I'm not comfortable creating entitlements for middle class, nor am I comfortable in encouraging a developer to build more density in our community because we are incentivizing him to build lower price point developments. And that's what we're doing. And you need to help me if it's you. And I won't be embarrassed. I really am having trouble with this because here's what I hear. You get a 5% density bonus for workforce affordable housing.
For affordable housing under the comp plan right now.
That's right.
So if I may, right now this ordinance in front of you simply expands any fee that would be collected as part of the linkage fee to be used in any programs that would be either affordable or workforce. We have I, as the planning director, have not done any proposals, nor am I bringing in any proposals to change the comprehensive plan to allow workforce housing to get a density bonus. I believe that that is something we should look at as part of our comp plan update. I think you have that option then to look at new data and analysis as to what the housing stock looks like, how we deal with some of the challenges that other communities like Winter Park are dealing with, and then you can go in and make those comp plan policy updates.
I don't think you need to change it. I think policy 1-2-1.8 right now says provisions for affordable / workforce housing, and it says that the City Commission may permit the maximum densities within the future land use categories to be exceeded by up to 5 units per acre.
Then at that point, you've already got it in your comp plan, and this ordinance does not cast a shadow onto the comp plan with regard to workforce. It's already in the comprehensive plan.
And the question is, should it be The question should.
And this ordinance is not this ordinance is not the mechanism to be evaluating the comp plan policies at this point. You're going to have that very opportunity as we go through the evaluation and appraisal report to do that. But I think this ordinance just simply allows the linkage fee to be used and to be honest with you, the linkage fee programs, we gave you that complete analysis of the what we've done with the linkage fee to date, and I have not heard any direction, boss. We haven't heard any direction to do anything new for workforce housing programs or policies. So as far as I'm concerned, all this would allow is in the future, if you reinstate the linkage fee, that linkage fee dollars could go towards some type of workforce housing program if you all decide that a program is appropriate. That's how I interpret it.
And how do you, if indeed the affordable housing benefits were set aside to help those in need, to help the people who are truly needed, if you now allow those privileges, whether they're bonuses, whether they are expedited processing, whatever the privilege might be that we would give an affordable housing, if we're going to now allow that for workforce housing, how do you ever truly incentivize affordable housing? Do you understand my question? If you can do either one, and certainly for any developer, it's going to be more advantageous to do workforce housing than to do affordable housing, how do we ever meet the need? I mean, the need is people who cannot do for themselves. That's the need. And that's what I thought affordable housing benefits were all about.
Well, I would clarify that affordable housing isn't to do for people who can't do for themselves. Affordable housing policies can be that gap of, they can make a monthly mortgage payment, but maybe they don't have 10% down. So I would clarify that it's not always the very low income, and that it can be low to moderate income.
Right.
I would say that workforce hits more of a moderate income. I believe that right now, if the policies in the comp plan already allow us to do programs for workforce housing, we're not redefining this by this ordinance.
I think that you would know that. So I'm asking you. That's what I think, but I don't know that I have the right version of the contract. It changed a lot.
Right. All I'm doing right now is, as requested by the commission, is bringing an ordinance forward that would allow any future collection of the linkage fee to be used in some manner for an additional category of housing which could be considered moderate housing.
Workforce housing.
Right. That's...
I hear you've been asked to do it. I just don't understand why we want to do it. And that's just a difference in philosophy. I think it creates an expectation of entitlement for the middle class, and I think we're already struggling with that as a society, and I don't feel comfortable. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Thank you, Dora.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor, and it's been seconded. We'll open the floor for public comment. Seeing none, any comment from the dais? Great.
No, sir.
Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
No.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. And thank you, Dory, by the way, for that summary. That's an exhaustive summary, which is really helpful.
Sorry.
Exhausting.
Exhaustive.
Two, can you read this ordinance, please? This is the second reading. Is this the second reading? No, it's the
first reading.
And can we have a simultaneous public reading, please?
Yes.
Public hearing.
Two ordinances.
An ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 58, Land Development Code, Article 1, Comprehensive Plan, Future Land Use Maps, as to establish commercial future land use on the annex party property at 1566 West Fairbanks Avenue, and to indicate the annexation on the other maps within the Comprehensive Plan, more particularly described herein. An ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 58, Land Development Code, Article 3, Zoning, Section 58-76, Commercial C3 District, so as to allow for added floor area ratio for parking garages if equal private and public parking is provided.
I think that's the wrong one.
I'm sorry. Okay. An ordinance to amend Chapter 58?
Yes.
Land Development Code, Article 1, Comprehensive Plan and the Future Land. An ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 58 Land Development Code, Article 3, Zoning, and the official zoning map so as to establish commercial C3 zoning on the annexed property at 1566 West Fairbanks Avenue, more particularly described herein.
Okay, thank you. And to be clear, I just want to make sure we're, because there was a little bit of confusion there, the first ordinance read was for page 100 in our packet, folks, and the second, I believe, was 101. Was it not, Randy? Yeah, it was 101.
Right.
PDF okay. page.
I beg your pardon?
PDF page.
Yes, PDF page. Okay, Jeff.
As you know, we annexed the property at 1566 West Fairbanks, and when you annex it, it still has the county zoning in place until we put the city comp plan color in the city zoning, and that's what these do, commercial, just like it is today.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. Take a motion.
Move to approve. Second.
I assume you're talking the first ordinance?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a first and a second.
Do we want to do the second one as well?
I would like to. So
I will move the zoning map amendment.
Great.
Second.
Excellent. This is just a little bit of housekeeping. Any questions from the audience, or if you'd like to address the commission on this item? This is item 11B. Seeing none, we'll close the floor. You guys ready to vote?
Sure.
Excellent. Cindy, would you please read the roll on the first ordinance, which is the land use map?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. And now the second, which is the zoning map change.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. Okay. Jeff, welcome back. It's been a while. We've got
two more titles.
Titles.
You want us to read them both before we discuss them, since it's
okay.
Since they're options.
Okay. Yes.
If you could.
Yep. So we can read them both.
Okay. An ordinance to amend Chapter 58 Land Development Code, Article 1, Comprehensive Plan.
You know what? I'm sorry, too. Can I interrupt for one moment? Randy, would you just clarify why we have two? I know another reason, but just for those listening in.
All right. Let Jeff explain why there's two options.
Thank you. And then two can read them. It'll just be a little bit more clear.
So if the commission were to proceed down this road to amend the comp plan, provide more floor area ratio, it still would not be effective until you did a companion zoning change so that then you could actually utilize it because it's provided for in the zoning. So that's why there's two titles. One is the policy and one is implementing it in the code. So you really need to do those simultaneously, either do them simultaneously or turn them down simultaneously.
Okay, and then we would move on to the next.
Yes, okay. So it's really just all enclosed in item C are the two readings.
All enclosed in item C, the two readings. Yes.
Yes. Right. Got it.
Two. Thank you.
An ordinance to amend Chapter 58 Land Development Code, Article 1, Comprehensive Plan and the Future Land Use Element, so as to add a new policy to the U.S. Highway 1792 Corridor Planning Area J. To provide for additional floor area ratio for parking garages if equal private and public parking is provided, providing for codification, conflicts, severability, and effective date. An ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 58, Land Development Code, Article 3, Zoning, Section 58-76, Commercial C3 District, so as to allow for added floor area ratio for parking garages if equal private and public parking is provided, limited to locations along the Orlando Avenue corridor, providing for conflicts, severability, and effective date.
Thank you. Discussion?
No, sir.
Commissioner, I believe you asked for this, didn't you?
I'll explain.
Okay, go ahead.
I know you're familiar with the project. This is the fourth public hearing for City Commission on this project, and the reason there's been so many is we're back now at the finish line of expanding the parking garage from 2.5 levels to 3 levels. And when this was on your agenda last in June, we thought that the method to accomplish this was through changing the comp plan and the zoning code to provide the provisions for the extra floor area ratio, and that is a valid method. But the commission asked the city attorney, Larry Brown, at that meeting, if there was another alternative, if we could do it through development agreement in lieu of amending the comp plan. And so Larry said at the time that that would work, but we didn't have a development agreement at that meeting. So it was agreed that we would tee both up for tonight. In the meantime, we had to send the comp plan element up to Tallahassee for FDEO to look at, and they replied back that everything's fine in their book. So we are set to either implement this through a comp plan amendment or through the development agreement that since June has been developed by Katie Reichman and approved by city attorney. And so you now have two techniques that'll both work, and if you'd rather not amend the comp plan, then you would deny these ordinances, and then we'll move on to the conditional use, which has the development agreement to implement it in that fashion.
Can I ask staff's opinion or staff's recommendation on this? I see here that I think you left it wide open. Did you not?
We left it wide open, really, because it was that
we had to take a stand, Dory.
Commission's direction.
It was after that exhaustive report on we just ran out of gas.
I think from the beginning, with all the comment about Trader Joe's, we were reluctant to go down the variance route. But if that's more comfortable than amending the comp plan, then that's fine, staff.
You can do it either way. I mean, in reality, you're granting a parking variance to the Lakeside Project, or you're doing a comprehensive plan. Call it like we see it. It's one or the other. And right. And we've worked. We know it's an uncomfortable situation to do either. So at this point, staff didn't really have a recommendation and this is just me. From a clean standpoint, I would always tend to go for a comprehensive plan change rather than a variance. But I do understand that we're talking about such a small gap with regard to that variance that it is doable. So, and that's just strictly my personal opinion for how to do it. But I think either one is legally sufficient. Either one gets this applicant to where he needs to go. But it is either a comp plan amendment or a parking variance, and that's how we need to look at them. So,
okay. Discussion. Commissioner, I think you felt the most strong.
My personal preference is the parking variance.
Why is that? Can you?
Well, because the comp plan amendment actually becomes very site specific, and I know Sarah expanded that a bit, which I appreciated. But what happened when we do that is we now have four other property owners who will benefit from this change that haven't been involved in the process. So I'm quite comfortable with the parking variance, and that'd probably be my preference. I'm glad that the attorney felt that it was acceptable.
I'm trying to take all this in because I know we talked about the additional property, and what I was actually thinking about is our library site being across the street, but that's not included within this, right?
Right.
Okay. So.
And the reason we added the other property specifically was they said we should not do that for just one property. So I don't care. Somebody just make it.
Oh, I would believe that we deny the ordinance changing the comprehensive plan.
I think
we advise DEO accordingly.
What we do need you to do is we do need you to deny the comprehensive plan, because when we report back to the state, they look for action from you on those issues because they should be
closed out there.
So we do need to close out that policy.
I was trying to make them two separate motions.
Yes, sir. But we just need an action on the comp plan part of it, if you wouldn't mind.
All right, I'll second that, Carolyn. Let's get it on done.
So, Commissioner, do you have that as one motion to deny?
Yes.
Would you mind separating those so that we can give them a clean, so that we can report back to the state a clean motion on the denial of the...
Okay. I would move that we advise DEO that we are taking no action on the comprehensive plan amendment. Is that appropriate, Dory?
Is no action, or do you need a denial?
Let's see what the words
say. No action just hangs it out there. I'd rather have a denial.
Denial would be more.
And I'll second that denial.
Okay.
And then you'd like to make another
motion? I was just looking to see what they have very specific language in their letter. I was looking to see if I could find what their. It says the city should act by choosing to adopt with changes, or not adopt. So,
which is
denial. So, so I'm fine with that denial. My second motion would be that what they're requesting here, that we change the zoning of the comp plan. I would vote to deny the first.
We did that.
Now,
for a motion to approve the variance.
Sure.
And I'll second that motion that you almost made.
Hold on a second. Who made the motion? Because I just
Carolyn did.
I offered it to you.
That would be just fine. I was actually looking
Cindy,
to see.
You, Cindy, so here, let me recite
this.
I thought we had
more than one ordinance here to deal with.
Hold on one second. Here's what we have.
Once you deny
we have one on the comp plan.
The zoning one becomes moot.
Okay,
so
very good.
The one action you've already have a motion for.
Thank you.
The variance becomes moot.
Well, the second.
The zoning ordinance becomes moot if you don't change the comp plan policy. Okay. So all you need is the one motion that's already been made, and we'll be done with this item and on to the.
And then we move to the next item, which talks about the variance.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. The conditional use.
So we got it.
So we've made the motion we needed to make, and we have seconded it. Right.
Do we not have to make a motion? Randy, are you good with that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because the variance the variance is then contained in item D, which is the final conditional use approval.
Gotcha.
Is that right. Correct? That's what
right.
I understand.
That's a different action.
We have opened the floor for public comment already on this, have we not?
Have we confused you?
Let's open the floor for public comment in case anyone would like to address the commission. Seeing that, we'll close it. We are ready to vote. So we'll. This is for denial.
This is a vote for denial.
Change to the comprehensive plan.
Yes, that's
Cindy, go ahead, please.
Okay. Commissioner Seidel?
No.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
No. Yes.
No. Yes.
Yes means no.
Yes.
Yes means no.
This is the right vote.
Yes, we're voting for the denial.
It's a denial. Okay. Well, I was looking at what the ordinance okay. Yes.
Request take two.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. Now let's move on to, then, what is it, 11D? 11D, please.
Let's get some specific instructions here first. So we're voting yes as you're voting for the variance.
Let's chart it out.
You voted yes to deny
the comp plan.
The comp plan. So this one would.
Now this would be
the next one.
Yes for this one here.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is the final conditional use for the Lakeside Crossing project. So I said this is the fourth public hearing before you all. And this one only deals with the expanded parking garage, 2.5 levels to 3 levels. It's been recommended to you by the Planning and Zoning Commission, and the variances are incorporated into the development agreement. The development agreement contains all the entitlements that we've granted, all the variances we've granted, all the conditions that have been placed upon the project, which importantly includes an item that we spent a considerable amount of time talking about, which was the parking management plan that comes later to make sure the valet works the way they're supposed to do, etc. And it also lays out exactly the numbers on the parking who it's set aside for, who can use it, the exact number of restaurant seats, etc. So moving forward, property changes hands. People leave, all of the rules for the project are spelled out in that development agreement. The site plan that's up on the overhead, it's the same site plan you saw before, and the parking garage has not changed at all in terms of dimensions, setbacks, etc. What has changed significantly for the positive is the elevations, the look and appearance of the parking garage. Compliments to the developer who has taken our new parking garage design guidelines and has redone the exterior, very much consistent with the goals of the city to improve the appearance and the look of parking garages. And from the staff's opinion, with one or two little tweaks that we suggested, This is really going to be a quality architectural product in many ways similar to the many of the design elements out at the Winter Park Towers parking garage that people have said was a very nice finished product. There was one new thing also, which is there is a landscape plan that accompanied this parking garage and more specificity. And so the details of that have been reviewed by the staff and been recommended for approval. The only other one new thing has to do with, in the interim, the applicant has the opportunity to have a dental tenant to rent 3,000 square feet, Smile Dental. As you know, our medical dental parking requirement is 5 per 1,000 square feet. Our regular retail is 4 per 1,000. So when you take that 3,000 square feet, technically they need three more parking places. So they've asked for that ability to do that. From the staff's perspective and from P&Z's perspective, 379 total on-site spaces. The three space differential did not seem significant. So a motion to approve this would be the final approval, and the motion would be incorporate the development agreement. As I said, it contains all the conditions and entitlements that we've already previously approved.
Thank you. Questions for staff?
Jeff, when does the parking management plan come before us?
Typically close to the time in which they're finished construction and getting ready to open.
Prior to the CO?
Yes, or it can be, basically they can't sign anything, or they can't charge anything, or they can't do any valet use until they do a parking management plan. So if they don't do any of those things, such as the Hannibal Square parking garage, it doesn't charge, doesn't have signs in there, doesn't use it for valet, we're still waiting 5 years later for that parking management plan. But if they want to do it in any of those fashions, they got to bring it forward.
Jeff, one of CRMI's concerns from the start was encouraging people to cross 1792. Did we decide that this additional parking, as far as Trader Joe's is concerned, is going to be for employees? And will that be reflected in the management, the parking management plan?
It is for employee parking.
So there won't be any signs over on Lakeside that say additional parking and park point across the road for people.
Plus, remember, we are upgrading the signal, upgrading the pedestrian crossings. So if there are folks that, you know, want to walk across to Shake Shack or whatever, or whatever.
If they discover it, we're not going to encourage that is the issue. It's employee parking. Right. And I wanted to thank you about the trees, the oak trees. I know you do palm trees, and we love oak trees, so I appreciate that. And the last issue was, for myself, the variance. I would not normally be comfortable with this level of parking variance, but I think that we, as a commission, ask you to add these additional parking places across the road. So I don't see this as precedent setting, and I appreciate that we've decided not to do it in the comp plan. Thank you.
Thank you. If I could just take a minute, Chuck Woodall, Unicorp National Developments. First, I'd like to thank our law enforcement officer guys tonight. I know you guys are under a lot of stress out there, and I see the news every day, so thanks for everything you do. Staff has worked real hard on this story, and Jeff and myself, we've worked really through this. It's going to be a great project. We've got a fantastic landscape, hardscape plan, and what we did across the street was impressive. I think this will be just as impressive or more. And we've got a great landscaping package. We've worked with your arborist. The sidewalks are all done with nice pavers with glass in them. It's going to be something we're going to be really proud of to have here in the city. So we're excited about it. Jeff mentioned about the parking for the dentist. That's important to us. The uses, we've really worked hard to make sure the uses out there are very complementary. We have a bank. We have a cool barber shop. We have a dentist. We have some retail shops, and really to make sure that the demand works. And I think with the variance of letting us finish the third floor of the parking garage, it ensures us for those really peak times when we may be jam-packed to make sure everybody's got a parking space. So we appreciate all that. The one thing I would like to ask, Mayor, you asked me a long time ago with Trader Joe's, or didn't ask but told, that, you know, 20 parking spaces was what we had to build across the street. And, you know, because at that time it was really using a lot of parking there, and you doubled it, so let's make it 40. I would ask that you, and I'm not trying to get anything else out of it, I'm just trying to clean up the transaction, that you keep it at the 20. And I ask that because, you know, when Trader Joe's opened, it was a big phenomenon here in the market, and since then we've opened one on the south end of town, which I own that one as well. And we have a daily count on the parking spaces. We do it 7 days a week. I have a full-time person out there. And he maintains the property, but he also keeps track of our parking every day. And we've got pictures, and we've paid attention to it, and parking is readily available out there, and the property has normalized. And so what I'm having to do is create an extra abundance of parking across the street beyond code. The 20 is to bring us to code, which there's no disagreement with. The extra 20 was an insurance policy, which we're going to build regardless. We're designing our garage to build that number of spaces. But just to keep it as a requirement across the street, I'd ask you to remove that requirement. If you did remove that requirement, I wouldn't even need to ask for the 3 with the dentist. But it's not needed. The parking is available, and we do check it regularly. And I know it was belt and suspenders back then, but I just don't think it's required today, and I think the property proves that out. That's my only comment. We worked really hard to get there. I do have one more comment. I'm sorry. I was told about your concern on the entrance about the valet. And Jeff and I spoke about that, and we will address that in the parking management plan. I do have that entrance double wide so one car can pass by as if another one was valet parking. I understand the concerns of traffic backs up into 1792. We don't want that. You don't want that. And what we would do is address that in the parking plan, and that if that was an issue, we would sit back down with the city and relocate the valet. We hope it's not a problem. We don't think it will be, but if it does, we'll address it so it's not a problem.
Thank you, Jeff.
That's all the comments I have. Thank you all. Do you have any questions for me?
Mr. Seidel, any questions or any comments?
Well, the one thing I found interesting, and you would know this better than I would, you talked about the medical use in the parking spaces, but a lot you're having restaurants, which are going to be mainly nighttime.
Restaurants see their peak volume at night. During the day is usually 25% of what night is.
Okay, so there's almost that, well, you have parking for different uses at different times of the day, which is kind of what we look at in the city is, well, during the day you can park here for the businesses and here at night for the restaurants, I think. So I do find just the whole, I'd be interested to know what your numbers ultimately come out to be if you track it that well. That would be some nice data to have.
Sure.
So, that's all.
Any questions?
Love your data.
The data head.
Good thing to make decisions on.
Mr. Sprinkle, anything?
I'm fine.
Great. Chuck, I appreciate the ask. I think I'd like to leave that in there for now.
Yep.
And it's something we can certainly revisit again in the future.
Okay, thank you. I'll sit down.
Question right away.
I totally agree as well. I'm not going to knock that one down. I'm going to be very interested to see the parking management plan.
Yep.
I don't share Chuck's optimism about his entrance.
You and I have that same concern.
And we will see. And I'm sure the fire code will want to get involved with that one as well. I'm going to vote for this. The landscape plan that was submitted, it was not in the spirit of the motion that was made to grant the variance to the garage. That's an issue between myself and staff, and I will address that at a further date, but I'm going to go ahead and vote for this.
Commissioner, can I stop you there? I'd certainly like to understand that if you're going to direct staff.
I'm not going to direct staff. I'm going to express to them my disappointment, and I'm not going to do that publicly.
Okay. Thank you. If you need support for any changes,
that's what I was going to say. Regardless of your feeling about staff, I'd like to know what changed here, because it went over my head, and I don't want that to happen.
I'd be happy to discuss that when we're not doing it here. So,
we don't have to do it here. Once it's approved, and you guys are free to talk about it after Okay. Do we have a motion on the table? I'm trying to recall.
I don't know. I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay.
I'll second.
Any public comment? Anyone wishing to address the commission? No? Great.
Can I address one thing real quick? Just to address your comment.
I'm not sure you want to, Jeff.
I would like to.
Yes for an answer.
You know, I want to snatch a victory from the jaws of defeat. Did I say that correctly? No, but Commissioner McMacken, on the landscape, and I'm not going to get into details, but I can promise you.
Chuck, that's not your issue. It's not your plan that I'm disappointed in. I'm disappointed in staff's.
Because I'm going to tell you, as far as what we're going to do, it's going to be out of the ballpark.
I want to separate those two, and that's why I'm not. That's why I'm saying I'm approving this, and that's not an issue with your what was submitted by you. So,
okay, Cindy, would you read the roll, please?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Chuck. Peter, does Peter have the fee schedule?
Probably Wes.
Peter took off and ran.
It's Wes.
Come on, Wes.
All I know is Wes is smiling. That's always a good thing.
The yellow is the changes in the fee schedule. Is that it? The yellow highlight?
The first couple of pages are the changes where it says current fee.
Right,
the first
that's
fee.
It.
Yellow is an explanation.
Okay.
Go ahead, Wes. I'm sorry. I was on a different page. That's what I asked Peter.
Okay, so we got... We do this twice a year, and as Randy was saying, the first four or five pages are a summary of all the changes. I'd be glad to go down the list if you like, or answer any questions.
If the commission has any specific items, there's 40, 50, 60 pages here. So do we have any specific changes from the commission on this? Any questions for staff?
I don't recall.
Wes, is there anything you'd like to call out without going through every one of these?
Not in particular. You know, you all discussed the changing electric rates earlier. You know all about that. We did an index increase on the water and sewer rates. There's some tweaks to parks rates and some other things, but I don't think there's anything particularly significant.
Okay,
just one quick one, Mr. Mayor.
Sure.
On the increase on the basketball league at the farmers market, I mean, I just always like to keep our facilities affordable to everybody. We're not overdoing that one.
Well, that puts us about in the ballpark with where others are charged.
As long as we're there, I'm fine. I just don't want to get.
So that's the market rate. That's
450, okay. 400 or 450 or something like that.
Other than that, I'm fine.
Thank you. Commissioner Cooper.
I actually, mine is more a question of when is the appropriate time for us to talk about new fees. During the budget, I had brought up a few recommended revenue potentials out there, and one of them was a commercial parks usage fee, and that came from the economic development review that we had by Silva Vargas a while back, and that was one of the recommendations she had made. Also, I would like for us to consider the possibility of reapplying our tree removal fee for anything above one tree on a lot. I want to be very considerate of a single-family homeowner. But we did lose a lot of fee. I mean, that's enough to plant 250 trees a year that we used to get every year in our budget. So my question to you becomes, when is the proper time to have that conversation? And anytime.
We can do it anytime. We could do it now if there's a specific...
I don't think we have enough data,
right,
honestly,
right,
to talk about it now, but I'd just like to get on the calendar,
right,
for us to talk about those things.
We will do that for you.
Thank you very much. That's all it is.
Any other questions? Okay. For motion to move.
Move to approve.
Second.
All right. We'll open the floor for public discussion. Just you gluttons that are still here, huh? Gluttons for punishment. Troy, you wait. Great. We'll close the floor for public comment. Further discussion? Great. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
No. Thank you. I did that for you.
You did that so you could... Continue. Ken's reign. Never voted for the fee schedule.
Commissioner Seidel.
Never voted for
City Commission reports.
I have a question for is with regards to the attorney and the rates. Can we discuss that at all? Because I have a question on that. I'm really just not quite clear on this.
If you want to take that offline with the city manager, if you want.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay.
What I'll say is my life has been very busy lately, and it's not going to be as busy, so I can get a little more in-depth in some of this stuff. But as a part-time commissioner, sometimes life comes up. So I look forward to being more involved in some things and move forward.
Okay.
What'd you do?
Good
your job?
I don't know. My job is peaks and valleys. And we've been in a big peak in my job.
That's good news.
That's good news.
Yes, yes.
I've just had that same peak in my job. So you all know I'm an educator and that schools and... Are you done? Is it my turn?
I'm good.
Yes. Do I get to go there?
Please.
So I just have to tell you all that you wonder sometimes... why we have so many options for education, because I work in the elementary program for the Florida Virtual School, and this year, for the first time, I have a K-5 program that's brought in over almost 2,000 students. And you wonder, why? Why do kids want to have these options? And I will tell you, we live in a world, and it speaks to us at this dais, just like it does as a principal of a school. I had a parent say to me, you know, I have a child in a coma, Sarah. If I didn't have my other child come into your school, I wouldn't be able to function. Mm-hmm. And then I have another parent who has a child who has no arms. And she says, I really appreciate what you're doing. And sometimes we forget up here how many different people there are out there and so many different things that we have to meet. And I know it's sometimes hard that I get short with people because I'm pretty quick at getting right to what my answer needs to be. But I really do understand that when it comes to dealing with this community and dealing with all the community of kids out there, they need all of us making these decisions. So I'm just glad to be here, but I'm ready to go home.
Thank you, Commissioner. We always love having you here.
Yes, it's been a long day since 12:30.
Yeah,
I've been here today. So there were a lot of exciting activities that went on this week, and it kind of said to me, oh, my goodness, what diversity we have in this community. And I just wanted to kind of give a shout-out to Susan Johnson spoke, and the mayor welcomed the Florida Commission on the Status of Women this past week. Also, this weekend was the start of the Global Peace Film Festival at Valencia, right here on Morris Boulevard. And Saturday night was the most amazing. Those of you who know Blanquita Trable here in the city, she had a celebration of Mexico and independence. And as a part of that, she recognized all of the physicians, many of which are from Winter Park residents, who give of their time and their services for free to help those in need. So Winter Park does so much, and it's so easy to get focused on the challenges that we face and the decisions we make, but this is an incredible community, and it's just really exciting when you live here to be a part of it. It feels good.
Commissioner
Bacon. Some of our days started at 12 days. Others started about 7:30.
I
had the pleasure of joining Commissioner Sprinkle on the front lawn here to work on some filming for the upcoming Pink Out, and I got to say it's been a long time since anybody put makeup on me, but they brought it in and dressed me up.
Oh,
and
it was,
but no, I diddle your comments on this last, you know, August you usually think of in early September is kind of slowing down and school starting and we're getting, and this is
a bit,
this has been an extremely busy month for all of us.
Yep.
And I think we've gotten through it, and two more to go here, and we're in good shape. But that's all I had, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
You mentioned Bash for Books Saturday.
Bash
for Books Saturday at the libraries, their big mm-hmm. fundraiser.
It is on the calendar.
Okay. And you also have their meeting, right? September 17th.
Yes.
There's a meeting Thursday night, yes.
And I will just say, again, I had the privilege of speaking at the Towers, their 50th anniversary, and that was, the spread they put out there was incredible, wasn't it?
Well, the way everybody looked,
yeah.
I don't think you could go to the Oscars and find people looking better. Let me just tell you.
Yeah.
They were in black tie, they were in white tie, you name it.
Susan Johnson's story was incredible. I've known Susan for years, and I didn't know that, so that was really wonderful to hear. And the Daughters of the American Revolution, I think I was at Wednesday. There's always something going on in this town.
And
I think
it always
reaches
so far into the region.
Yeah. Thank you all very much for being here this evening.
For sticking with us,
yeah. Yep.